who got it. Moabites can't stop it. Ammonites can't stop it.
Watch, count them up. We in the street, but it's not enough. Giving no rest till he Sabbath us. And the world sees Jerusalem. Way up, way up, way up. Way up, way up. Way at the top of the mountain. City set on the hill. Blue pill, red pill. Count them up. We in the street, but it's not enough. Giving no rest till he Sabbath us. And the world sees Jerusalem. Way up, way up, way up. Way at the top of the mountain.
All right, officer, you ready?
Yes, sir. To carry my burden, on this surge, to get on this surge for the King James Version. Finally found it, feeling surrounded.
It's that time again. Yeah. Ya la hora. You know, power hour.
Ponle atención. Class is in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more. That's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause some churches never teaching shit. Everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit. Yeah, that means you take a loss if you spray from the way. You get the understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it says what it says. Gavin el tiempo. Entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento. La Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento. No te pierdas en doctrina como viento. Estudia y ora y aplica. Tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita. Escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos y israelitas. Oye cómo explica Israel unido en Cristo para la vida. Nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour. Learn your family history, don't be a coward. Yeah, tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
It's the power hour.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus. I am Deacon Yahshua.
Officer Shia.
Officer Tobias.
Officer Tobias. The famous Officer Tobias.
Damn.
What are we talking about?
Damn.
Yeah, man. We had a... Mm-mm. Man, put that picture up, bro.
I got you.
Get it from the officers group?
I got you.
Put that picture
be up. Be ready, be ready.
I wasn't ready.
Well, get ready.
We were going to wear the black shirts today, but the officers wanted to wear the blue shirts.
Yeah,
today.
We were going to wear the black shirts, and I was just like,
yeah, you know, we want to do the blue shirts again.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. It pops.
Put it up.
Yeah, let's put that up. Officer Tobias. Man, oh, man. Officer Tobias. So, you know, Officer Tobias, good brother, come a long way. How long you been the truth, Officer Tobias?
Just over 5 years.
Just over 5 years. Officer of 10,
yes,
right?
Sir.
Okay. Promoted, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, praises. Well deserved. And, you know, we've been shopping the brother. we've been shopping the brother. See what's out there for him.
Yep.
So, Sister Honey M said Officer Tobias is single. He needs to marry my daughter.
Damn, where's the bomb drop? Hey, come on, don't sleep. Don't
he's
sleep.
He's been working on the beard games. He's been trying to get himself together.
Man, try.
Emotional damage.
Sister Honey M, I don't know if you're a member of any of our IUIC congregations. All right, if you are, reach out to IUIC.phoenix@israelunite.org.
Uh-huh.
And let's get some information. Let's get a dialogue going for the Officer Tobias. Let's see if
something's there.
Let's see if something's there. You know, we'll respond back. There's like a little bio info that we'd like to find out, see what's up.
Hey, he did finish the 300.
That's right. He is a distinguished graduate of the 300.
So
he's a graduate of Men of Valor.
Yes, he is.
A graduate of 300, the complete man.
Mm-hmm.
Great program, by the way.
Yep, all praise to my side. Yes, they're in the midst of their third cohort, which means it's the third year that we've been doing the 300.
Dang.
And it's gotten more popular. So it's looking good. It's looking good.
Daniel's on it. Our IT producer.
Yeah.
Is in it. David, I believe, another IT producer. He's in it too.
Yeah.
Here, Phoenix.
Brothers getting in there. So, that program has kind of refined, polishes the man. You know, MOV's like boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
She's ready for camp and streets and, you know, preaching the gospel to our people. Teaching the gospel to our people.
Mm-hmm.
And then 300 kind of polishes you up, teaches things about business, work, how to be a good husband, spouse, all that stuff, all biblically based, as well as men of experience providing information in that program as well. Real good program.
You're in it, right? You go on there?
They ask me to teach occasionally. I think every year they've asked me to teach at least once, if not twice, sometimes. But yeah, it's just the Honey M, iurc.phoenix@israelunite.org. And let us know which camp you're in, what's the deal, what's going on.
Hey, put the camera on me real quick. Give them a little something, bro.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Give them a little.
I got nothing.
Not even a shalom.
I got shalom, shalom, most high Christ.
There you go. I'll just be next to you.
All praise
to the most high. Hey, is that like a new lower third?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
damn,
sir.
That's fire. I didn't even know.
Praise.
Wow, you got surprised. I know you were doing stuff.
Surprise.
Who helped you with that?
No, Soldier Othaniel did that thing.
Soldier Othaniel did that thing.
We've been needing to get on it, so we didn't do it until Officer Sarah was getting on us, putting it on.
Wow.
So, all praise the most high.
Yeah, that damn. Now, it made me realize how bad the other one looked now that I got this one.
The other one was still pretty good.
Nah,
you know?
It was terrible compared to
stepping
this.
Stone.
Compared to this, yeah. Hey, so you can... New lower third. Damn, we got new shirts. New lower third.
Oh,
praise to the most high. Hey, check out our social media. Help support Phoenix. Oh, look. Well, listen. First of all, we're on Spotify at the Power Hour Plus. So if you enjoy the Power Hour, not able to watch it visually,
right.
We have select episodes. They don't really roll out at a good pace because Officer Shy doesn't put them up at a good pace.
Mm.
But we have select
coming out.
We have select episodes on Spotify. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get your dose of the Power Hour audio, maybe while you're driving, right, doing some cardio at the gym, whatever it might be, you listen to the Power Hour Plus on Spotify. And also check out all our socials there. Help support, all right? Especially YouTube, all right? We need that support on IURC Phoenix YouTube. Look, you got Facebook. You got Instagram there as well. Also, do not forget the trips are coming up. Donate to the Booster Club, iurc.fundraising@israelunite.org.
That's right.
iurc.fundraising@israelunite.org. It's all across the bottom on the lower third there as well. All right, we have, I think, Trinidad. Did I say? I always say this. Is it Grenada or Granada?
Tomato.
No, it's not.
You choose.
It's not. One of them, I think, is like near Russia, and another one is in the Caribbean. I always say it wrong.
I don't know. Then I
always get them confused.
Tomato.
No, it's not. Because tomato is still
place.
A tomato.
Yeah, right.
It's different.
Two different places.
You're talking about a place where our people are and where our people aren't.
Oh.
So it's not. So it's like tomato, potato.
Mm.
What about potato and tomato? Is it not the same thing?
Yeah, do that again. Give a little smack.
I'm kidding.
We also got Ecuador coming up, all right?
That's right.
And that's this month in July, so we'll have two international trips going on simultaneously. Lord's will, life last, all right? So support the Booster Club. We need the help.
Also, with the Spotify, don't. With the ads, skip them. Don't be like, ads. Hey, it helps us out. It helps us our support the page. So just like we have to watch those ads on YouTube, you know, do the same thing for the Spotify Power Hour. So don't skip it. Don't be hasty and then run away and then go do something else.
That's right. If you'd like to call in, I don't think we push this enough with the calling in. I think we forget. It's on the lower third the whole time on the show. 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. All right. If you'd like to call in, questions, comments on the topic. All right. Please call in. You can interact with us. All right.
Just to make sure. IT, y'all are monitoring that, right? IT? Hello? I know you guys have a mic in there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are monitoring.
Okay.
All right. All praise to the Most High. All praise to the Most High. Hey, so we are continuing on with our topic. All right. We're going to talk about Christianity a little bit here because it's all kind of connected. I think last week we spoke about kind of the whole Sodom agenda and that being kind of a social construct. I think I want to run it back to the social construct thing again, just get that in people's minds again. But let me see the links you have up because I know I had social construct. Was there anything else around social construct that I had up? Because there's something. What does that say? Why social engineering is so effective. Did we go through that? Did we watch that video?
No,
okay. Man, so we got that to talk about. Gosh.
Social behavior.
Social. Man, because I got like notes here, and it was supposed to be, it's under social behavior. Okay, so it is. It is under social behavior. All right, so we run back social construct. I wasn't sure if I took good notes or not.
You usually take good notes.
Nah, man, that's been my notes for like the past month. On the show.
That is true.
Just this. Hey, but y'all been in the spirit, so it's helped the show quite a bit. It's helped the show quite a bit. Yeah, I think last week's show, I think Captain Yan was reaching out. They were saying that they really liked it. Like it's the bishop and the captains were watching it.
Oh, dang.
His house. Yeah.
All praises.
Yeah. So don't be nervous now.
I'm going to be nervous. Right. I don't know what to do with my hand.
I know your hand was coming up in the camera shot before.
I saw that when I said surprise. Let me scoot over.
I know. I won't see your fingers there. Hey, so we're gonna move in on this and remind you about the social construct, and then see why Christianity is a social construct, right? One of the key reasons it's a social construct.
This guy put me on camera when I was moving the chair and everything. Come on,
bruh.
Show you that way. I was all doing this and stuff. Come on,
right.
Bro.
Hey, so let's read this social constructionism again. All right, let's recap a little bit. All right, because that's how we left off with the show last week, and we'll set the tone with this social constructionism. Okay.
Social constructionism is a theory in sociology, social ontology, and communication theory, which proposes that certain ideas about physical reality arise from collaborative consensus instead of pure observation of said reality.
Basically saying that if enough people believe it, then it becomes their reality. Right. All right? It becomes their reality. So it says that certain ideas about physical reality, meaning what's real, okay, what's really going on around us, truth, mm-hmm. All right? It says that instead of that being what people go by, all right, it says from collaborative consensus instead of pure observation of said reality. So basically, if enough people get a, when they say collaborative consensus, meaning if enough people collectively believe it, that becomes said reality to them.
That becomes
their reality.
Right.
Right. So I think I've said that there's a saying before that talks about perception is reality. There was a manager that used to say that all the time. Perception's reality. Perception's reality. I was like, my gosh, it's annoying. Like, you know, she would use it like for like, you know, to talk about like customer relations and things like that. Well, perception's reality. But I wasn't nasty, but they thought you were nasty. They perceived you were nasty, so that's their reality. Right. So that's what she was saying. I mean, you know, years later, I thought about it, and it was like, damn, it makes sense.
She does make sense.
I was like, she does make sense what she's saying.
Yeah.
She was using it in that regard, though. So what's insane about this is that they're saying, and this is what we were going over last week, is that you can invent something and it becomes reality. I'll give you a modern example of this. That the election was stolen and everybody, that group, there was a collaborative consensus amongst those groups that believed that it was stolen. Now, listen, the whole thing is a sham. Regardless,
right?
Presidents are selected, not elected.
Right.
There's an illusion. I mean, I think various leadership has gone over that, like with the Electoral College and how that thing really goes down and stuff like that. And they'll believe something like that, right? So instead of pure observation of said reality, come on, read on.
Can I real quick?
Yeah.
Another one that has been getting pushed out and it's been getting a lot of movement is kids can choose their what is it? Their
gender.
Their gender.
Right.
And that one is just, it's been getting pushed little by little to where it's becoming a big thing now, mm-hmm. to where the scripture says if there have not been a remnant, we'd all be like Sodom and Gomorrah, meaning it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, bam. It's not going to be a opinion. It's going to become a fact,
right.
or a big notion in the future.
Right. So they're trying to say now that, and we spoke about that a little bit last week with the video about the guy was trying to be transracial.
Wow.
Right.
He's trying to be Korean.
And then you got right. the Judah sister. Say Judah, the tribe.
Yeah, right. Judah.
You got the Judah sister with the blonde hair.
Bruh.
A walking contradiction.
I don't know if she was Judah.
Nah,
she was Judah.
Stop.
She was Judah.
Oh, no. What's up with all these Judah brothers? Every
Listen,
time we no,
says,
no, 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 no.
The scripture says prove all things, right?
We proved it.
Oh.
She had blonde hair.
Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, wow.
That's a Judah thing.
Every time we call out Judah on their foolishness.
She had a fro with blonde hair.
Nah, I don't think she's Judah. She wanted to be Sunday. I know the kid. No, bro. No, stop.
So she's there fighting with the guy about because he wants to be Korean.
Right.
Saying he identifies as Korean.
He did.
And then he also says that he surgery. Identifies as non-binary.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, okay, well, I can give you that. So you see, that's a social construct, right? Now, what happens, what makes it a social construct, you ever heard the saying, like, a lie told often enough becomes the truth?
Right.
That's what it is. Yep.
So what they do is they condition it through social engineering. Let's not run it back. Social constructionism falls under social engineering. We'll probably have to show the social engineering definition again in a moment just
yeah.
to kind of reset everybody. Social constructionism is part of that social engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So social engineering will tell us, and we'll read the definition in a moment, this is where the powers that be try to guide a consensus, a specific group,
mm-hmm.
into where they want them to move, how they want them to believe, right? So, you know, you'll hear Bishop Yawasab, who's often said, right, the Negro was created in the lab. He's the white man's invention,
mm-hmm.
right? That's social engineering. That's social engineering. And social constructionism is one of the methods in how they engineer us to believe this foolishness, which is why you can have a Judah sister up there with dyed blonde hair talking about, I'll go with transgenderism that you're non-binary.
Right.
But she'll have an issue with the transracial thing because the transracial thing has yet to be. Kind of prevalently, there hasn't been a collaborative consensus on that.
Right.
There's been a collaborative consensus on homosexuality. There's been a collaborative consensus on transgender. And somebody posted it. I was reading comments during the week when I was trying to say the cross-dresser. The transvestite is the other one. I couldn't remember what it was.
Okay.
When you're not, where you just like to cross-dress and stuff like that.
So social construction is first, right? It becomes opinions and what have you. And then social engineering, that's when it's like set in paper, set on stone. So social construct comes first, right?
Social engineering comes first.
Oh, that comes first.
Yeah. So, but get me the wiki one. You should have that. Don't get me this.
Social engineering is made up of different social constructs.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's read this. We're gonna run it back so people understand the social engineering piece again. Right.
Social engineering is a top-down effort to influence particular attitudes.
Right, so a top-down effort, meaning it comes from the very top, all right, to influence particular attitudes, come on.
And social behavior.
So not just what you think or how you think about it, they want an action behind it, right? Social behaviors, come on.
On a large scale.
So on a large scale is meaning you're not trying to do it to just one or two people, you're trying to do it to a large group, all right? So this would go into... obviously, we're talking about us, right? Blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, those who meet the curses in the Bible, all right, who are the Israelites today, and how we've been socially engineered as a people away from what God intended us to be, what God wanted for us, like you read in the scriptures,
right.
And been engineered to all the craziness that we're involved in now, all right? So go ahead, read it from the top again.
So social engineering is a top-down effort to influence particular attitudes and social behaviors on a large scale, most often undertaken by governments, but also carried out by media, academia, or private groups in order to produce desired characteristics in a target population.
Right. So it tells you it's most often undertaken by governments.
Mm.
But also carried out by media, academia, or private groups. That private groups are secret elect. Those are those groups that get together and they, and you know, you'll hear things like Bilderberg, Trilateral. I'm not saying it's any of those, but of that ilk for people who believe in all that stuff. All right. Of that ilk. In order to produce desired characteristics in a target population. So this is, you know how they went over gain of function for viruses?
Yes.
This is like a gain of function, but for social behavior for people. Right. Willie Lynch was a very early version of that.
Right.
Okay. The Willie Lynch letter was social engineering. And then when he starts talking about ways that he does that, when he says set the light skin against the dark, that's constructionism.
Okay.
Right.
So social engineering is the end game, the end results, what they want.
Right. So
social construct is how to go,
their methods to get there.
To get there.
Right. So like in sports, for example, right? Let's say you're playing baseball. This meant you could score a run by a home run.
Right.
You can get a man on base. He can walk. He can steal bases. Right.
Right.
He can ground out and a run could score. It's still right. The run still scores. There's so many ways that you can do it. So all those different ways would be constructionism. Now that's based in reality, so it's slightly different. But just to kind of give you the mechanism of how it works.
Right. Right.
All
right.
Of how that thing works. Right.
Makes sense.
Read on. So it says, in order to produce desired character and a target population, meaning it's not necessarily across the world. There's a target population in their sights that they try to get. All right. We read the example in First Maccabees 1. I know we go there often, especially on the show, because it's one of the more powerful scriptures when you read about it.
Right.
But that was social engineering.
Right.
Right. So let's read that real quick for the sake of getting people in the right mindset for the show. All right.
1 and 41.
Yeah, 1 and 41.
The book of First Maccabees, chapter 1 and verse 41.
That's very important because this is social construct and engineering. It's
yes.
All summed up into scriptures.
Yes.
Moreover, King Antiochus wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people.
Right. So King Antiochus, it's a monarchy because he's a king, right?
Mm-hmm.
But didn't I say, I think it's really Antiochus, but we say Antiochus.
Yeah, I've heard you say
tomato,
it.
It's
tomato.
Really, no, when you pronounce it, it's really Antiochus. But I know. You know what it is? Like, I really could care less.
Yeah.
Whatever, he was evil as hell. Well, you know, then you have like the
scholars,
those so-called scholars, and they'll be like, look, they can't even pronounce the thing right, you know?
Oh, God.
So it's Antiochus, really. But anyway, he's government, right? So we read in social engineering that it mostly is often undertaken by governments. So King Antiochus is the government here. I'm giving the example of social engineering with the scripture, right? Come on.
And every one should leave his law. So all the heathen agreed according to the commandment of the king.
Right. So all the heathen agreed. So that's constructionism because he made up his own laws and his own rules, right? Not based on reality. And he got a collaborative consensus amongst the heathen.
Right.
Right. To follow that. So that became reality.
Comes from top down effort.
From a top down effort. Right. Because those are the heathen were like they're the ruling elect. Right.
Right.
Come on. Read.
Verse 43. Yay. Many also of the Israelites consented to his religion.
And notice they also called it a religion. Mm. Right. So politics, things of that nature. It's a religion. He says, so yay, the targeted population.
Right.
Was really the Israelites. So he says, yay, many also of the Israelites consented, meaning they willingly followed after it. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Judah sister with the blonde hair that was okay with the non-binary stuff.
Right.
Judah. Right? That thing messed him up.
Yeah, I had to take that one in.
He's feeling it, but it messed him up.
I wanted to say something back, but I didn't have nothing else.
Listen, all tribes are lost. All tribes are lost.
We all jacked up.
Right? We all jacked up, right? Come on.
Verse 43. Yea, many also of the Israelites consented to his religion and sacrifice unto idols, and profane the Sabbath.
Come on.
For the king had sent letters by messengers unto Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, that they should follow the strange laws of the land, and forbid burnt offerings, and sacrifice, and drink offerings in the temple, and that they should profane the Sabbath and festival days.
All right. So it goes on, and it says all the laws that they told us to broke, but jump to verse 49.
Yep. Verse 49, to the end.
So what was the reason? This is the social engineering part. Come on.
To the end, they might forget the law.
They wanted to change. They wanted to influence a particular attitude and social behavior. They wanted to keep us right. And according to Judah 5, 21, this is the reason why. They knew that if God was for us and we were doing what God required, they could not overcome us. So they said, listen, how do we maintain our rule? we have to make them stray from the Most High. Mm. And they did this so thoroughly, right? They did a diligent search. They did this so craftily,
right,
that it's perpetuated to this day. This is where you fast forward to these last days, and right, we're all jacked up. Mm. So even though Judah maintained for longer,
yep,
we all, this is why when I say we all went into gross darkness.
Right. The scripture says that the Christ should not return except they shall fall. And the son of man be son of perdition be revealed.
Oh, we're gonna get that in a moment about the son of perdition, right? For the the mystery of iniquity, right? We're gonna talk about that because I want to talk about the strong delusion.
Mm.
All right, because this is what that social engineering is. This is what that's going into. All right, go ahead, read 49 again.
Verse 49. To the end, they might forget the law and change all the ordinances.
Right, and we did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yes, we did. Right. And as I show you later that Christianity is a social construct, and there's a collaborative, there's a humongous collaborative consensus on Christianity.
Mm.
And listen, you know, I was thinking as I was driving early, and I said, you know, some people might ask us, well, how come you're not at the Nation of Islam things, and how come you're not at this stuff, and you're doing these Christian blitzes? Because Christianity is the law. Those other things, those are outliers. Those are distractors. That was to grab those of us who didn't fall under the social construct of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
It was just enough, but it's still constructionism. Right. It's still engineering. Because at the end of the day, what does it do? It still accomplishes this, what you read in verse 1 Maccabees 1,
right.
49. All right? It still accomplishes this. But Christianity, as you'll see when we show some numbers and stuff like that later, is the largest social construct. And I say it's a social construct because it's a lie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based on physical reality.
Right.
It's based on a lie. So it started off with this decree by Antiochus that he said, you're going to do this because of politics. But then you'll see later, like under Constantine and stuff like that, that he made it such that all types of people started to come into it. So you got more of a bigger collaborative consensus. So basically, the biggest social engineering that was ever done to us was Christianity.
Right.
Which is why we have to bring down that stronghold, because it's become a stronghold to our people.
One of the biggest ones. Yep.
Yes, one of the biggest one.
Exactly.
Because all falls under that.
Right. I was going to say
Christianity was the crack that put our people to be susceptible to all types of stuff.
Yep.
I'm going to show you that later. How Christianity is so full of crap that they don't even follow their own edicts.
Right.
They don't even follow their own stuff. All right? Read verse 49 again.
Verse 49. To the end, they might forget the law and change all the ordinances.
Come on.
And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said he should die.
Right. So it was so that upon pain of death for those that did not run to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
For many that did not consent to it. So that was the biggest social engineering that was ever done to our people.
Right.
Because prior to that, if you think about that, get me the one in, is it 2 Maccabees 6 about consent to the manner of the Gentiles?
Yep.
Because prior to that, if you think about our captivities, if you look at that history and you think about the captivities, it was never done in that crafty manner where we forgot the laws. We always remembered. Why? Because whenever we had gained our freedom, we tried to go back.
Right, right.
So they came up with a more divisive way to do it. They didn't call it social engineering back then.
Right.
This was the playbook that modern Esau used to continue to subvert us and engineer us to what they wanted to do. Mm. So they said, listen, we got to create social constructs. So an easy way to think of social constructs is just if you get enough people to agree with it, it becomes a reality.
Right.
And that targeted group will then go with it.
Right.
Regardless of what type of – so this is why it's so much – and we're not going to play The Matrix again today. But it talks about how there's another scene where it talks about how the minds at a certain age can't be pulled out. This is after when he's discussing with Neo.
Damn.
After the atrophy and stuff. He says they fracture. They can't deal with it past a certain age. So they try to pull a young mind out.
That's that cognitive dissonance.
Yes. That's what winds up happening.
Damn.
Or as the Bible would call it, strong delusion, which we'll get after this in 2 Thessalonians.
I had the team get the clip ready. Bro, I'm just saying.
You know, Facebook mutes us when we do that, right?
Yeah, but
YouTube hasn't booted us yet.
Yes.
Deacon Abiel gets nervous when I put that up because he says the channel's going to get blocked.
Mm. I feel you, but, oh, yeah, that's true. I had the team get it ready. I said, yo, get the team, get the matrix ready.
I think we show short enough clips that we're all right when we do it. But, yeah, it kind of goes into that. Well, get the clip ready. Maybe we will show it.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe we will show it.
Israel's
maybe,
a visual learner.
Maybe we will show it. Right? So, think about it historically. Prior to the Greeks, they weren't really using social engineering. They were just tempting us with the allure of sin, right? And many of us still maintained our identity after that.
Right.
This progressed into something much more aggressive, which you're going to read about here. Because what's more powerful than just changing people from how they behave is actually making them believe they're somebody else altogether.
Yes. Mm.
Right.
And then what you'll do, that's that thing that, like in Willie Lynch, where he says it'll spin forever on its axis unless a phenomenon comes along.
Well, if you go, when
maybe we need to get that part in the Willie Lynch letter, too, so we can read that.
Go back to the social engineering, I believe. I know you got something pulling up right there. The next sentence says what you just said. Social engineering can also be understood philosophically as a deterministic phenomenon, where the intentions and goals of the architects of a new social construct are realized. It becomes a deterministic phenomenon. So that's what you
where, yeah, where the intentions and goals of the architects,
letting
you know that they came up with this, of the new social construct are realized. So this is where I told you how we started with social construct. I don't want people to forget about the social engineering aspect.
Right.
So it's social engineering and then social constructs are there, right? So, and it says they realize them. So they sit there and they propose these theories,
right?
And they say, well, how can we get them to do this?
Right.
This is why when you read in Psalms 83 and it calls us the hidden ones,
right?
This was what became more profound for them. To maintain their status quo. And try to see if you can find that passage in the Willie Lynch where it talks about it'll spin on its axis forever unless a phenomenon comes. Oh, you got the Willie Lynch with that? Oh, okay. But first read this. All right. So, and then we'll read how it's brought out in Willie Lynch, all right, where it says this. So read this in 2 Maccabees.
The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 6 and verse 9.
So we read in 1 Maccabees the social engineering, right? And the social constructionism piece that was under that. And then they took it a step further where it became so bad that we wound up believing that we're Gentiles to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And Christianity is the thing that perpetuates that the most.
Right.
This is why it's not one of the biggest. It's the biggest.
Right. Mm.
It's the main thing that has our people. Even the ones who say that they're not Christians. That they don't believe in that. It stems from that. That's the poison that Christianity is. You don't even got to follow it for its effects to be prevalent in you or our people.
Mm-hmm.
It's you don't have to go into the customs of it. We still roll with a Christian mindset, whether you believe in white Jesus or not.
Because they constructed society based on it.
That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point. They constructed society on that. All right. So read this.
The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 6 and verse 9. And whoso would not conform themselves to the manners of the Gentiles.
Right. So the ones that didn't consent, the ones that remember, we read that it was upon pain of death in 1 Maccabees. Right. So it says, but here use a little slightly different wording. It says, whoever would not conform themselves to the manner of the Gentiles. Come on.
Should be put to death.
Was that it? I thought I wanted more than that. Go ahead.
Then might a man have seen the present misery.
No, I want you to start. Hold on. Because we got to say what it was, right? So start at 6. Yeah, yep, come on.
The book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 6 and verse 6. Neither was it lawful for a man to keep Sabbath days or ancient feasts or to profess himself at all to be a Jew.
So you see how they took it to another level when Antiochus started with just forget your customs and all that? He says all should be one people, but, you know, people were still kind of maintaining, yeah, I'm under your republic, but I'm still a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not keeping these commandments, but I'm still a Jew. Now he took it a step further, and he said neither was it lawful, right, to keep the Sabbath days or ancient feasts or to profess himself at all to be a Jew. Come on.
Verse 7. And in the day of the king's birth.
His birthday, come on.
Every month.
But he celebrated his birthday every month, right? So that means if he was born on the second day of whatever month, he just made the second day his birthday throughout the whole year. Come on.
Every month, they were brought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifices. And when the feast of Bacchus was kept, the Jews were compelled to go in procession to Bacchus carrying ivy.
Right. So when it says by bitter constraint, it was letting you know that these weren't the ones that consented. These were the ones that didn't want to. Come on.
Moreover, there went out a decree to the neighbor cities of the heathen by the suggestion of Ptolemy, by Ptolemy against the Jews, that they should observe the same fashions and be partakers of their sacrifices.
So you notice, see, it's like subtle words. It says that they should observe the same fashion, meaning you got to dress like us. You're going to speak like us, right? Bishop brought it out when he spoke about the Hellenists. Mm-hmm. All right, come on.
Verse 9, and whoso would not conform themselves to the manners of the Gentiles should be put to death. Then might a man have seen the present misery.
Right. So that's why it tells you all those actions were Gentile actions. They were social behaviors and attitudes that were influenced, some consenting, some by bitter constraint. And then it tells you this is when they started to say, we don't want you to profess that you're a Jew at all. This is why I say it differs from the other captivities.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the beginning of us really starting to lose a grip on who we were. Right. So it's one thing to not follow how you should be. Right. If you're a doctor, you should be doing things that doctors do. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a policeman, you should be doing things that policemen do.
Right.
Right. So we were dressing like policemen. We were dressing like doctors, so to speak. Right. But we weren't doing those things. Now they were saying, no, don't even dress like a Jew.
Right.
Don't even move like a Jew. Right. You read about the Greekish fashions and they made us wear a stupid hat.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And all of that type of stuff, following after their customs. And they used all these different things to persuade our people in mass to that, to that. So this goes into what we were reading with the social engineering piece in that. Now, let me get, hold on. Let me see where I want to start in this. Say something, Ishai, while I look here.
Today's episode is brought to you by IUIT-TV. Don't forget the Booster Club again, and also subscribe to IUIC Phoenix. All right, we are going up in the, on the subscriptions, and yeah, you got anything?
Yeah, you know what's heavy about the social constructs? I was thinking about this, you know, and I think it was along with what you brought out earlier, but how they sit as God, and he thinks himself to be God.
Yes,
he literally has created this whole social engineering in these constructs as a way to try to profess himself as he is God because he's created this world.
I've done this, yes.
Yeah, like that's pride to the 10th degree.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
You want to bring something up?
Yes, I do. Well, you got it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So 2 Thessalonians 2, and let's just start at 1. We'll read down.
The book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand.
Right, because some people were trying to say that, you know, some were saying that Christ already came again. Mm-hmm. Some were saying that it's right around the corner, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like people giving like a timeline and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, listen, don't be troubled by these things, okay? As if somebody trying to push this, that the day of Christ is at hand. Because our mind should be set in understanding when we know those things will start to be closer, right? Mm-hmm. Now is our salvation nearer than we believe. Go ahead, read on.
Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means.
Right, so he said, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you with things like social engineering and social constructs, right? Read on, I'm going to show you why. Come on.
For that day shall not come.
That day when Christ returns, come on.
Except there come a falling away first.
Read on.
And that man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition.
Right. So it's letting you know that son of perdition, that man of sin, must be revealed. Right. Let's jump because I'm just trying to get to certain points in here. Verse six.
And now ye know what withholdeth.
Now you know what withholdeth the return of Christ. Right. To give us the kingdom again. Like you read in Acts 1 where he said, will you now restore the kingdom again to us?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time.
That man of sin might be revealed in his time. Come on.
For the mystery of iniquity doth already work.
Right, so he called it the mystery of iniquity.
The social construct already worked.
Right, come on, yep.
Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way.
Right, it's God who lets, right? So he's saying until it's that time appointed when he be taken out the way. Come on.
And verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, for whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth.
Hey, and you know something? Wicked is capitalized here
because it's
letting you know that he's speaking very specifically about who this is. Because he's not just talking about all non-believers, all heathen. It's a very specific person, right? Come on.
That wicked.
Right, that wicked, right? Come on.
And then shall that wicked be revealed.
Which he's talking about, the so-called white man. Come on.
Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth.
Right. The Bible is going to cast down this social engineering and these social constructs. This is why we're going against this social construct of Christianity, because that's been the main driver of what we read in Maccabees eventually evolved into the Christian religion.
Yes, it did.
Because what does Christianity do? It keeps you away from doing what you're supposed to do according to the Bible. It includes all people,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't teach the exclusivity of what it is to be God's chosen, right? Anybody can be God's chosen if they just follow after him, all right? It keeps you away from your identity. They don't teach identity, all right? I was reading another article earlier. I was going to try to incorporate it. One of the captains posted. But it's funny. You have these apologists that were talking about us. But what they were saying was actually the truth. And so he was saying that basically he was doubting Christianity to try to say why the gospel is so alluring to our people, right? I didn't highlight the verses that I wanted, which is why I'm not going to bring it out. But essentially it was saying maybe if you guys are talking late, I'll look for it and I'll bring it out. I don't know. I'll see. It might not flow. It might not come out today.
Okay.
It might not come
out
today. All right. And he was basically saying all these type of things that basically makes Christianity full of crap. So Christianity has been the biggest social engineering hack, social constructionism that there is because of what it's changed our behavior. It's taken away our identity and it keeps us in sin. And when we're in sin, they're able to get their targeted result. They're the architects of what they want in this regard.
And so much that it's a global thing now that everybody thinks, feels, acts this whether, like you said, whether they believe and go to church, Christianity or whatnot, everybody feels and thinks and acts the same way whether they go to church, Christianity or not. It's a global
scheme. That's the point.
Scheme.
That's why I say even if you say I'm not Christian,
you think like it.
You think like it.
You
roll
like it.
Yeah. You act like it.
Love is love. And as long as there's peace. But
all your behaviors are driven by that, whether you follow it in its customs and one of its denominations or not.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
like I said in the article, said it's rolled out by media. So whatever you watch on TV, it's rolled out by that.
Yes.
It's rolled out by academia, your schools. Oh, no, we got to. The anthem, I love you, I love everybody, but then they kill you. And private groups. Black Lives Matter was moved and funded by a private group.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that media is heavy, too, because the media is what has most of the world thinking Christ is a white man.
Yeah.
That social construct.
Yeah.
All
of
these things.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Christ is a white man is a social construct of Christianity.
Right. So whether you believe in Christianity
it's one of their main tenets.
Right.
Right. So, right, because you'll ask somebody that's a non-Christian, you'll show them a picture of Caesar Borgia, and you'll say, and you'll show them the picture of the depiction that we have,
right.
You say, which one of these is Christ? 9 times out of 10, they're probably going to tell you, maybe Caesar. 10 times out of 10, depending on the day.
Right.
They're going to tell you that it's the picture of Caesar Borgia.
Hey,
right.
And
they may not even be Christian.
And to further prove, right, because we go to the black churches and do the church blitz, and then, hey, brother, you know that Christ is black? Everybody, yeah, I know, I know, well, okay. So then what are you doing about it? What are you going to do about it? Because your kids, guess what? They don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, who's this? Well, that's God. All right, then. See, you know about it. The parents, you know that Christ is black, woolly hair, feet, his feet like polished brass, all this stuff. But then you still act like he's white. You still roll like he's a white man and peace and love and hugs and bunnies and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, yeah, that's true.
So that's why it's not one of, it's the thing that has kept our people down.
Right.
It's the thing that has kept, and still does to this day.
Mm.
which is why we got to bang on it.
Yes,
why we got to bang on it. Go ahead, read on.
Verse 9, actually, verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Right, the spirit of his mouth. This Bible is going to consume all those lies. It's going to cast down the stronghold of Christianity. Come on.
Even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders.
Right, that lying wonders, one of them is social constructionism, yep, because it's not based on physical reality.
Right.
It's based on a collaborative consensus. Mm-hmm. If you tell the lie often enough, it becomes the truth because enough people eventually believe it.
And right. It has from 14... the Renaissance, 1450s up to today, it has become a social engineering.
Right, right. Come on, read.
Verse 9, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Right, and that's what we're trying to do as we continue to basically bang on Christianity and go to these churches, right? And try to engage with these pastors. Listen. We're not even telling them, come join IUIC.
No.
But teach the right thing. You have a platform. You have a means. You have an audience. Start to show them their reality.
Right.
Start to show them what the Bible really says, who they are and what we should do to combat all this deceivableness of unrighteousness. See, they don't want to receive the love of the truth
right.
that they might be saved.
Right.
They say we're a hate group. Right. Hey, and a social SPLC is a social construct.
Yes,
that's not
are.
Based on physical
mm-hmm.
reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's based on getting enough people to believe that what they write and put in is true.
Right.
Right? Hey, and you know what? Maybe, there's too much stuff. I know I have put the SPLC videos when they were going over this grilling of Ketanji Brown.
She was Judah, too.
She right. was Judah,
y'all
too.
Don't leave Judah alone, man.
Judah no, too. We ain't leaving Judah alone.
We might have to show it. We might have to show it. It's,
the hell is sick.
Too much
so
stuff.
The whole body's sick.
Hey,
so guess
that.
What?
Too
y'all the leading tribe.
Oh, it's too much
and turn
stuff.
Up the USB. I can't hear those sound bites.
I know.
Bro.
I don't hear the sound bites
turn
either.
Up the USB, bro. Come
right?
on.
So what we're trying to bring is the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
Right.
That they might be saved. Come on, Reef.
Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
Because when here's the thing, and you got to realize something. When it's no coincidence when the word comes to you, brothers and sisters, right? I'm talking about you that are out there that are not repenting yet, that
mm-hmm.
are not believing yet, all
right.
right? And it says if you don't receive that love of the truth that you might be saved, it says God is going to send you strong delusion. I think that's when we read, I don't know, it was last week or the week before in Romans 1, where it talks about giving them over to a reprobate mind.
Right.
Yes.
right?
Yes.
Basically, he'll close that door
yes.
for you to receive, right? Because everybody has a time, and only he knows what that
right.
time and chance is,
yeah.
right? But that might be your time, and you might have two or three chances. You might have one.
Right.
Right? You might have one.
That's your dispensation of grace is based on.
Yes.
That's heavy because the Lord knows. It says a man's goings are the Lord. So how can a man understand his own way?
Right, right.
So, I mean, you receiving the word with loving the truth. If you find out that Christ is a black man, but you decide that I'm still going to stay around white Jesus, you're
mm-hmm.
loving a lie. So then your whole reality of your life and everything you're around is based on
yeah,
lies.
Yeah, so that's a social construct. It's strong delusion.
Right.
right. The Bible does not support that Christ is a white man.
Right.
And it don't support that he's a Middle Eastern man. Because then you have people who, man, and it goes to show you the hate that they have for people. That they can't even go the whole way. Like, they got to be like, he wasn't white, but he was Middle Eastern. He was Arab.
Right.
Right? They'll try to hit you with that thing.
Right.
Right, but they can't bring within themselves to just say, "Oh, the Bible says that he's a black man."
But
right.
if you have it says even if you know the Bible doesn't stand on lying. So no. I mean, even if you're seeking the truth, whether the Sabbath day has been changed to Sunday, if you got to go to,
but this is the thing with strong delusion.
Right,
you'll read out of the exact same Bible.
Right,
and you know they'll try to say do we prefer the KJV? Yes, because when you read how the KJV was written, how it stands, and all that, it's the most pure version. It was actually translated. From the Greek and the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Any translation after that was not done on that. It was, they used the KJV as their basis and modernized it. So basically it got watered down and watered down and watered down.
And plus,
and some of them deliberately leave out verses, deliberately change
yeah.
certain things in it.
Right.
Right. To try to confound people. It's part of that whole thing. So strong delusion, the Bible doesn't support that Christ is white.
Right.
Strong delusion, the Bible doesn't support that all nations can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Strong delusion, the Bible doesn't say that the laws are done away with.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all this in there, and they'll still go against it. You're talking out of literally the same book.
Right.
And they'll still believe a lie.
You know what's heavy about what you said, too, is the KJV version. That's still a social construct as well, because all the versions afterwards, like you said, they got a hold of it. Mm-hmm. Those are social constructs in themselves to be able to take you away from the word where it wasn't tampered with the most.
Right. Yeah. Right. And then, you know, their strong delusion is so strong that they'll come out with detractions like a nation's not a color. A nation's not. You're right. Israel came in many dark shades.
Mm-hmm.
And in modern times, the Bible says my heritage is like a speckled bird. Right. Can we read that real quick?
Yes, sir.
Let's read that real quick. Mm-mm. Let's read that real quick.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 12 and verse 9. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird.
Right. So can we pull up speckled birds? Like, get that in the background. Whenever you hear say speckled bird, just get the picture ready just in case. All right, producers? Just get the speckled bird. Because the strong delusion will make them say it's not about. We're not saying this is about color. But that's what the world calls us.
Mm-hmm.
Black and brown, because colloquially, that's the words that we're known by.
Mm-hmm.
I can't sit here and say Judah, Ephraim, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, Asher, Zebulon, and people are going to understand what that means.
Right.
So we use the terms that they use, speaking plainly unto them.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'll key in on that and say, oh, you're teaching color. No, it's just to let you know who the people are.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see the origins of it. You're right. It's not a damn thing about color. It's about the truth.
Right.
To cast down that strong delusion and those lies.
Go back to the Google, full screen it. Exit out of that one picture you. No.
What do we got?
No, no.
Here?
Go back to Google.
There's different ones.
You see that X on that picture?
Yeah. X that picture to the right is what he's saying. There we go.
There you go.
All right. Hey, do the one over. Do the second one from the left. Do the second one from the left. That one, all right? That's one speckled bird right there, all right? Let's open up this one so you can see, all right? You're right. It's not about color, but the Bible says that we're what? A speckled bird. Mm-hmm. So look at that bird. This is and there's many. You look up speckled birds, there's many. Look at that. There's some black. There's some brown.
Yellow.
You got some shades of yellow. You even got some white.
Right.
Like Snow White. And not the Disney character. I'm just talking about the color snow that's right next to it. All right. Look at all the different colors in a speckled bird. That's just one type of speckled bird. There's many types of speckled birds.
Mm-hmm.
Go back.
So you're right. It's not. It's about all colors. It's about a bloodline. It's about the truth.
Right.
Get that blue one.
It's about representation. Ooh, that's a popular word nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It's about representation. Seeing ourselves represented. Look, there's another speckled bird, right? Look at that one. He even has some blue because you know there's some. It's brothers and sisters that are so black that they blue.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's even blue, got some blue. It's green. It's kind of like turquoise, man.
But the point is that it does deal with colors, all right?
Yep.
It does deal with colors. It does deal with colors. What were you going to bring out? You wanted to bring something out. Did you lose it?
I did.
You lost it? You lost the fuego?
Yeah.
Damn, bro. Come on, bro. You can't do that. You got to hold on to it.
I had two of them. Let's go to Revelation 13.
Oh, now he's going to do it. Okay. See, he wasn't sure. Now he's going to do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, Revelation 13:15 about the way it's produced and the way social construct comes out, and it comes out, and we read in Maccabees, it comes out by means of death, right? It comes out by what it say in Maccabees about he sent out letters, right?
He sent out letters.
He was like, look, the heathen agreed first. Well, hey, this guy Esau, Edom, he's a top dog. He's ruling. All right, let's consent. Let's all be one people. Came over, and I'm just going through a timeline. 1492, the Spaniards come over and start discovering so-called the Americas. And what they do, all right, well, we need to do social construct because the end game is that we want to rule and have dominion over you. So how they do it? Let's go right here. Watch this.
You want Revelation 13 and 15?
Mm-hmm.
The book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast.
This is the white man. He had power to give life to the image of the beast. When? In the 1450s. Come on.
That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed.
So it says that the image of the beast should both speak. It started out with them coming with the sword and with the Bible. And started teaching us and killing us that whoever would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. That's it.
Let me get Matthew 24:24.
I didn't give it the mm.
Nah, you didn't
nah,
give
I didn't
mm.
give it the mm.
But it's all right. It's a good point.
All mm-hmm. right, I'll praise this.
You said Matthew 24, where are we at?
24:24. Because this goes with strong delusion, which is the social construct, all
right? Right. The book of St. Matthew, chapter 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders.
Right, so they'll be able to razzle-dazzle you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Into believing the strong delusion.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Great signs and great wonders, but they're false. Mm-hmm. Right? We were forewarned, but they even made us forget that warning.
Hey, can I get one point on this?
Go
you
ahead.
Know how they razzle-dazzle you?
Uh-huh.
They got the lime green suit. They got they got the nice lights in the back.
Yep.
They got the soft music, and now your emotions are down. Defense is down, and now you're like, oh.
Or you see the Beamer and the Bugatti in the back, and you want to follow after.
Yeah, that's one of the things that they'll do. Come on, read.
He must be from God.
So look at St. Matthew 24 and verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
See, the elect won't be deceived.
Right.
Right? So it's letting you know that those that fall into that deception, those that get the strong delusion, like we just read, those are the ones that they're not going to come out of that,
right?
But we don't know who they are.
Exactly.
Right. So we need to address all our people, and God sorts that out.
Right.
Right? The Most High sorts that out.
Right.
So it's not our job to say who those are and whose aren't, but the ones that are elect, meaning they might even for a dispensation of time believe the strong delusion.
Right.
But they'll be able to come out of it when the gospel is preached to them. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that we're looking for.
Right.
It's no frustration to us when they don't receive. That's why it says dust off your feet and move on.
Right.
Right. So I said, hey, one of the things we're doing with the Blitz, hey, we're going to hit you once. We're going to move to the next one.
Real quick, just to can we go back to 1 Thessalonians?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because based on what you just said, it's the elect, based on us, them hearing the real gospel, right, is dependent on them being able to receive it. But it says it shall not deceive the very elect. Where is it? 1 Thessalonians?
First or second?
It was it second that we were at?
Yep.
Yeah, 2 Thessalonians. Where were we at? Shall deceive many. Verse 10.
Verse 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved.
So the elect are on the opposite side of that token, because they do receive the truth of the gospel. They're receiving the truth. So then when they have those messengers of God that come and preach the truth to them, they actually receive it. That's how they're not going to deceive the very elect.
Right.
Because by the foolishness of preaching, that's how they'll be saved.
Right, right. Those are the ones that'll be saved, right?
Right.
Let's get Wisdom of Solomon 4 and 12, all right? But this is what makes it hard for a lot of our people.
Right. The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 12. For the bewitching of naughtiness doth obscure things that are honest.
Right, and that bewitching of naughtiness is sin. Mm-hmm. And this, a lot of people might not want to admit this. Your Christian pastors won't admit this. They don't even talk about sin, right? Except saying that it's done away with.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they deal with sin, sin, sin? They say it doesn't exist.
Mm.
They say that Christ died so that that's absolved, right?
Right.
Sin is pleasurable. So another way that they keep us socially engineered is they bewitch us with that naughtiness. And then it says it obscures the things that are honest, right?
Mm.
This is why in Romans 1, when we had read that last week, it talks about for this cause, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Why? Because he read all the sinful behavior that they were in the midst of.
Right.
So you basically cannot receive the full understanding in this if you're not repenting.
Mm-hmm.
I was giving counsel to a sister, recently, and she was talking about how she's an older sister. She says there's a man that's interested in her, but he's not in the truth,
mm-hmm.
right? And she says, but he says that he'll follow the truth, you know, for them to be together.
Trying to be pleased to dwell.
Yeah. And, you know, I was trying to explain to her that, you know, that's fine. I said, but here's the thing with that. I said, he needs to follow it before you commit to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you'll see he's really about it.
Right.
I said, because that's what will open up his understanding as he keeps the law. Like you read in Psalms 111 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, where it says a good understanding of all they that do his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
All right. you might receive a little daylight, so to speak. Like it says, we grope at noon, right?
In darkness.
You might receive a little daylight when you hear the gospel being taught to you the correct way,
right?
But that foolishness of preaching. And the sin will obscure that from you. So this is why it's so critical that the repentance happens right away, right? Mm-hmm. Tarry not,
right.
Okay? Because what it'll do is the more you stay in sinful behavior, the more obscured it is, right? So you start to see very hazy. As it is, we see through a glass darkly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's critical that you start to apply, because the bewitching of naughtiness is a constant pull away from it, all right? So, but a lot of these people don't want to do it because sin is pleasurable. So this is why they'd rather just not even talk about sin and tell you that you're all right with it. And it also helps to keep this social engineer thing going, this social constructionism going, that you'll believe the lie. Read this again.
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 12. For the bewitching of naughtiness doth obscure things that are honest, and the wandering of concupiscence doth undermine the simple mind.
Right, because our minds are in simplicity, all right, in worldly simplicity, in strong delusion, mm-hmm. all right? But it says that basically bewitching is like it's intoxicating.
Right.
Right? It's that razzle-dazzle. Mm-hmm. And that bewitching of naughtiness is so strong, right? And it says the wandering mind, meaning so if your mind's not disciplined, that's like when Christ said in Matthew, the unclean spirit goes away, but then it comes back and finds it clean and swept.
Yes.
So if you don't keep laws, if you don't fill your mind with what's righteous, and as you change yourself, that bewitching of naughtiness comes back. And when he sees that he can come in, it says, oh, I'm going to come in with more now so I don't get kicked out next time.
Right.
That's why it says he comes with seven more, mm-hmm. right? So that wandering of concupiscence, your mind wandering into sin, not applying the commandments, this is why the commandments are so critical.
Mm-hmm.
People just, you know, when they don't understand and they say we're trying to hang salvation on the law, we teach the faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the lie that they've been taught, the strong delusion that they've been taught, mm-hmm. all right? We teach the faith in Christ, right? Like you read in Luke 1, where it says he's going to come and save us from our enemies. But the emphasis in the law is that it keeps your mind from wandering in concupiscence.
Right.
That also goes with the other one, where it says wisdom will work with you by crooked ways and things like
that.
She'll try you by her laws, right?
Right?
So the significance of keeping the law is so that you're under, when you receive a little bit of that daylight, that you can keep that and you can expand that and open that up more.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you'll see some people only endure for a time. Mm-hmm. Some people they'll do good works and grow, and you see them grow in the spirit and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. right? And many of us probably had different crosses that we were bearing, and that if we weren't applying the law to deal with it, we might not have made it as far as we had.
Right.
And we'll have more that'll come, right, to keep us bound, to keep us walking through that straight path. That's also like you read in Ezra's, where it talks about fire on one, water on the other,
right? Yep.
And all these things that are there. Okay, you were going to say something?
Yeah. That's heavy that you brought that up, because I was talking to a brother, and I said, look, he's dealing with some sin, right? And I was like, look, the way you combat that is you start removing your daily habits and then doing new, better habits where they become a daily action. Mm-hmm. So now, instead of doing, you know, what you want to do, what your flesh wants to do, now you, instead of doing that daily habit where it's now an addiction, now you start changing that habit, and instead of doing that, okay, now I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to read. I'm going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
That's just basic, but that's what's going into about discipline. And you're trying to change? Well, change your habits.
Right.
Change the small things. Start with the small things and then work your way up.
Can I get some real quick?
Go ahead.
Psalms 19 and 7 real quick. Because it's literally just to tie in on everything you guys are saying, that changing small habits, right? And then we just read Wisdom of Solomon 4 and 12, where it said the bewitching of naughtiness doth obscure things that are honest, and the wandering of concupiscence doth undermine the simple mind. So it's telling us that we have a simple mind when it's not founded on something. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and read.
The book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect.
So we know the law of the Lord, that is perfect. When we look for perfection, it's God's laws. Read.
Converting the soul.
That's what's going to change us. Like you were just talking about, you got to change behaviors, change actions, bring in those disciplines of God's laws to be able to change as a man, as a woman. Read.
The testimony of the Lord is sure. Sorry, the testimony of the Lord is sure.
God's testimony. This Bible is sure. It's been proven. Hundreds of years of proven learned men that have walked with the laws, read.
Making wise the simple.
Doing what?
Making wise the simple.
So these laws make wise the simple. That's what keeps us from that simple mind, that wandering of concupiscence. It keeps us disciplined. When you have wandering concupiscence, everywhere you look, it's concupiscence, lasciviousness, mm-hmm. and media, and all these social constructs.
Right. Get me the one where it says sealed in their foreheads, and then get
Revelation.
Me Ezekiel. Yeah, and then get me Ezekiel 3. Because this is the opposite of the simple mind. The simple mind is when you're in this strong delusion. We still haven't got to the Willie Lynch part to show you the social construct, this social engineering, all right? So that it says that wandering of concupiscence. But when you're focused, all right, when you're in these scriptures and applying them, okay, that's what the Bible says, that he made your forehead strong, right? So it's not a simple mind. It's a strong mind, okay? Okay, give me this Ezekiel 3 and actually start at 3, and then we're going to jump to verse 8.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 3, verse 3. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it. And it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness.
Right, so he's talking about the Bible, all right? The roll he's talking about is a scroll, okay? Because it looked like a roll in the vision, okay? And he says, eat this Bible, meaning consume it, live it,
right?
Don't just read it. Don't just look at it. To eat it means you live it. Because why? It becomes part. When you eat something, what happens?
Because
you
got to
think of digestion.
Yep.
It becomes part of you. Your cells are literally renewed by what you eat.
You heard the say, you are what you eat?
Yes.
Yeah. That's heavy.
You are what you eat.
That's
right.
Heavy.
So he's telling them to eat this Bible. So that don't mean just look at it, right? Not just hearers of the word, but doers.
Mm. Right.
So he says, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Read verse 4, and then we'll jump to 8.
And he said unto me, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel. Speak with my words unto them.
That's because in Thessalonians, right, it says his words, right, the spirit of his mouth, all right, will reveal it. So he says, and speak my words unto them. Not what you've learned in the world, not what Christianity has taught you. The Bible, because that's the power. And your simple mind will not be undermined if you grow this route. Why? Read verse 8.
Verse 8. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces.
Meaning of our people, because he said get into the house of Israel, the ones that are in strong delusion, like we saw in the Matrix clip where it says they'll fight to defend it because they're plugged into the system. Come on.
And thy forehead strong against their forehead.
And thy forehead strong against their forehead. Not a simple mind that can be undermined. All right? It says your forehead will be strong against their forehead. Come on.
As an adamant, harder than flint.
Right, because that's what flint's what you use. They talk about the Flintstone. That's what you use to sharpen swords. All right? That's what you use to start fires of flint. Come on.
As an adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks. Though they be a rebellious house.
Why? Because they're simple-minded, like we just read. Now, get me, you got this one in Revelation?
Yes, sir.
Right? This is why it says the concupiscence will undermine the simple mind, but you must focus on making your mind, which is your spirit, strong. Come on.
The book of Revelation, chapter 7 and verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead.
Right. That who let it will let it let. He's saying, don't hurt the earth. Don't do it till we have sealed them in their forehead, where they're not simple-minded, where they're sealed with this. You have that? Come on.
Yes, sir. The book of Isaiah, chapter 8 and verse 16. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples.
And that's what it's sealed with. So the law is what's going to keep you from the bewitching of naughtiness. The law is what's going to keep you from that strong delusion, so that you're not wandering in that.
And seal them with the perfect law that will convert the wise, that convert the simple to wise.
Right. And read that again real quick in Isaiah.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 16. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples.
Right. So for those that say we don't teach it, get me the one where it says the testimony of Christ. That's in Revelation also, right?
Oh, yes. Yes.
I got you.
You got it? You know which one I want?
I believe I do.
What's wrong or wrong, bro? What's wrong with you? Come on, bro.
Right.
It's in the 20s, 18.
No, it's 19. Revelation 19 is the one I want. Hold on. Let's see which verse I want.
It's verse 10.
Yes.
Is it verse 10?
Yes, sir.
What does 9 say?
So the testimony of Jesus is this. No.
Yeah. Hold on.
9 is about the marriage supper and the lamb. Say,
okay, so no, I don't want that. Wait, 9 is 19 and... Yes, go ahead.
10?
10.
Yes. Okay, the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus.
So the testimony of Jesus, that he's going to come to save their people from their sins, from their enemies. Come on.
Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's the testimony of Jesus. It's the spirit of prophecy. So you have the law and you have the spirit, the testimony of Jesus as the spirit of prophecy.
Can I deal with the comment real quick and social construct and those that be not, that they're not going to be deceived?
Yeah, hold on. Revelation 14, 12, and then you can go what you want.
Yes, sir.
You are Revelation 14 and 12.
Well, 14 and 12 to clarify this a little more. Come
the
on.
Book of Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus.
Right. So that's that testimony. All right. So the testimony that is speaking about is of Christ and the commandments of God. It's all through the Bible. But they'll believe that strong delusion. They're so socially engineered by the construct of Christianity. The construct means it's made up.
Right.
It's not based in fact.
Right.
They cannot prove that Jesus is white in the Bible.
And I'm about to deal with that.
They cannot prove that the Israelites, they cannot prove with the Bible that we are not the Israelites.
Right.
They have to go outside into these great lengths to do so.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot use just the Bible to prove that thing.
Mm-mm.
They cannot. So it's, but they, it's made up. It's made up BS. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'm about to deal with what you said. Give me Matthew 24 again, and then we'll read 24:24. From there, we'll go to Daniel 10. Because someone said, well, let's read Matthew 24:24.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 24, and verse 24. Mm-hmm. For there shall arise false Christs mm-hmm. and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
If they were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Daniel chapter 10, and verse 6. Daniel chapter 10.
The book of Daniel, chapter 10 and verse 6. His body also was like the barrel, and his face as the appearance of lightning.
Start at verse 5.
Verse 5. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz.
So this man is Christ. He had a golden belt. Come on.
His body also was like the barrel.
So now his body, his clothing was green, and it's gonna this scripture is gonna disprove what this brother or sister is saying on Facebook. Go ahead.
And his face as the appearance of lightning.
So now the comment is his face is the appearance of lightning. How is this a black man? But they didn't finish the scripture. Go ahead.
His appearance of lightning.
All right, let's just say his face was white. Go ahead.
And his eyes as lamps of fire.
Come on.
And his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude.
So his arms and his feet like in color of polished brass. So now, Christ has arms and feet, meaning his whole legs and his whole arms, they're black, but his face is white. Have you ever seen a person like that?
Can I just add on your point?
Go ahead.
Get Ecclesiastes 8:1 real quick.
Bro, have you ever seen?
Just to cast it down real
that's
quick.
That's this. You full step bear on Facebook, on YouTube. You simple, man. Why? Because you didn't finish the scripture. What about his arms and his feet like in color? So his face is white and his arms is black? What is he, leprous?
But that's where it takes humility. We have to learn that we might not know. And it's okay not to know, but to act like you know something where you don't have the understanding, that's a whole nother
thing. I feel you, but that's a social construct. That's trying to deceive the elect. The elect won't be deceived because it tells you his face. If you knew the Bible, if you studied, you knew what the face appearance of lightning is. But it lets you know his feet and his arms and his feet like in color. That's the emphasis right there. Lur.
No, but all, then they'll try to tell you that the brass is different. Like I said, they have to go through great lengths to try to disprove what the scripture says.
Instead of just accepting the truth.
You said the Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, because
the love of the truth, like Thessalonians. Yes, right. Says, 2 Thessalonians.
Says. And he may be coming on as a scoffer, but it says all things work together for good for those that love God, right? So you really think about it. He brought that up so that others may be edified right now. So go ahead and Ecclesiastes 8 and 1.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 1. Who is he as the wise man?
So who is as the wise
who
man?
Who is as the wise man?
Sorry. We read earlier that the law is what makes us wise, right? Read.
And who knoweth interpretation of a thing?
Who understands the interpretation of a thing? Christ did. Christ understood the interpretation of dark parables that many didn't know. The scribes and Pharisees could not understand his speech. Read.
A man's wisdom.
A man's wisdom. Christ was the guy. When you wanted to understand God, he walked perfect on this earth in the sight of God and men. So that's talking about Christ. A man's wisdom, read.
A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine.
That's why his face was like that, because his wisdom allowed it to shine through his countenance, read.
And the boldness of his face shall be changed.
And his face was changed based on his understanding. So we gotta keep that in mind. That's it's simple. If you don't know, just ask. And that's what we're here for.
Social construct. Right. That's the war we're against.
And right, they said like the humility in that. One point I want to bring out before we go to this Willie Lynch to make the comparison of the social construct and the social engineering, actually. Let me get Matthew 24 and 15, all right? And I'm not going to get into prophecy, but get me the definition of desolation, all right? Go ahead.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 15. When he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand.
Right. So the abomination of desolation is going into Esau, all right? It's going into what they did in the temple, right? Putting up idols and things in there as well. But there's a reason, very specifically, why he also calls them desolation, because this all goes back to what we're saying about they took it further. Like, remember when we went, oh, let's go all the way back to 2 Maccabees. Remember when he said, nor profess themselves to be a Jew at all.
Right.
You have to understand the power of words, right? Desolation, a state of complete emptiness or destruction. Mm. So that goes back to what, let's get that where Christ said clean and swept. Is it Matthew 7 where he talks about that with the seven other? Am I off?
About the clean.
I'm trying to quote when it says seven other spirits come in. I get messed up with the
I got
unclean
it.
Spirit.
We got Matthew 12.
12, okay.
You want me to start at verse 43?
Yeah. I was way off.
Four chapters ahead, all right?
The book is...
Yeah, come on.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 12 and verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man.
Right. So remember, we have read it went further in 2 Maccabees where they said they don't even want you to profess at all to be a Jew, right?
Right.
And desolation means complete emptiness, right? Or destruction, meaning they wanted to make us desolate, all right? This is what they do, all right? Because what do? They rot. They don't embrace their own identity, mm-hmm. right? They embrace the identities of others.
Right.
They conquer, and then they say, yeah, that's us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we're the Greeks.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we're this people. We're that people. Mm. Okay? So the desolation gets so bad that it's complete emptiness, right? So you read this here. Come on.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none.
Come on.
Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty.
Empty. He means he finds it desolate.
Mm.
Because you didn't fill it with keeping of the commandments.
Mm.
So this is why you'll have some people, like you read in Mark 4, that they hear it, but then they're on stony ground, right? And something pulls them out, and something pulls them away, right? It's desolate. Mm. How does it remain desolate? Because of that bewitching of naughtiness, because that same, the wandering of concupiscence,
right.
All right? Sin.
Yeah.
Sin. And if you don't turn from the sin, then the word cannot stay residing in you. Read that again.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 12, verse 44. Read then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty.
Empty, desolate, come on.
Swept and garnished.
Swept and garnished, meaning ready for him to come in with more sin. Read on.
Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself.
He says, I'm going to get back up because I got booted out this last time. Come on.
And they enter in and dwell there. and the last state of that man is worse than the first.
This is when it says that he's given them over into strong delusion. Come on.
Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation.
Right, because that same wicked generation is here today. Mm. Those are the ones that are attacking brothers and sisters as they go out to try to give them the love of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that are brandishing guns, pulling guns on them, all types of craziness that we've seen. Going to the gates of the nobles, taking us to court, calling the cops on us.
Right.
When all we're trying to bring them is the love of the truth. That's all that it goes down to. That's all that it goes down to.
Yeah,
so it's not a coincidence that he calls them not just an abomination, but of desolation, meaning dealing with that emptiness. Following after that, dealing with that is dealing with emptiness. You going to say something?
No.
No? You? All right. So let's get the social engineering again so we don't lose the thought.
Yeah,
and then we'll get the Willie Lynch.
I don't want to go in too far and then we don't.
Well, I didn't even talk about the Christian. Like, we got to read a little bit about the history of Christianity.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah. We got to read that. All right?
Being Engel priest upon priestess, line upon line.
Okay. So read it from the top again, the social engineering.
Social engineering is a top-down effort to influence particular attitudes and social behaviors on a large
scale.
And
listen, it don't matter that you know what it's called, but you have to understand that the efforts are there and who they're delivered by and why they're delivered.
Right.
And I'm going to show you how Christianity is one of the biggest social constructs that they use to keep our people down. Come on, go ahead.
Most often undertaken by governments, but also carried out by media, academia, or private groups.
So it means the governments are on board with it. It says they use the media in all its forms to push it to you.
Yep.
Academia, they push it to you in the school system. And then you have private groups.
They study it so how they can boost that thing up.
Yes. And we went over a show where we spoke about theology, school, and seminaries, right?
Yep.
That's academia, where they've made Christianity academia.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, hey, this is how you perpetuate Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you teach these strongholds and these lies to people.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what those seminaries – and remember, that came about as a result of the Reformation era because Catholicism – is the mother of all Christianity.
Right.
And it wasn't, we'll read it in a little while, and it wasn't until the Reformation era where they started to have some differences within themselves that they came out with these other denominations. But on a deeper level, that was just so that they can make, it was like you have vanilla ice cream, and then they said, hey, let's throw some chocolate chips in it. So now people don't get bored with vanilla. It's still vanilla, but you got some chocolate chips in it.
Yes.
All right. It's vanilla. Let's put a strawberry swirl in it.
Mm.
So now it's still vanilla, but there's some variations, and that's the different denominations. So
the foundation is.
So they came out and they made you're still Christian, but we're Christians that believe in this,
right?
And we're Christians that believe in all of this, but we also believe in this.
So we've got we've got a scratch for that itching ear. We know the itching ear is going to come, so we go.
Yeah. That's exactly our setup. So it says academia or private groups, come on, in order.
In order to produce desired characteristics in a target population.
So that's the part that I want before we come back to it for the Willie Lynch.
Mm.
All right? They wanted to produce desired characteristics in a target population. So let's get the Willie Lynch now. All right, because we talk about it. We got to read it. And I'm just going to start with the continually part, all right? So I'm going to condense it so we don't spend a lot of time on this. Come on.
It's the bottom paragraph.
Yeah, continually through. Uh-huh.
Continually through the breaking of uncivilized savage nigger by throwing the nigger female savage into a frozen psychological state of independence.
Right, so part of the social engineering was make the woman dependent on the white man. Make them dependent on master, all right? They break up the divine order of things,
yep.
Weaken the man, weaken the image of the man,
right.
Turn her against the man,
mm-hmm.
All right? Come on.
By killing of the protective male image.
So kill that image. They say you don't even got to kill the protective male. Just kill his image.
Mm.
And they perpetuate that today. You know, these women today, our women, they're not looking for marriage. They're looking for everything but that. They'll say they want marriage, but they don't. And if they do want marriage, it's not based on how the Bible says marriage should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's some construct in their mind of what they think that
they
should be.
They can't look for marriage because the image of the man is destroyed. They don't know what a good marriage looks like.
Did you see that video where they had like a singles mix or mixer or something like that, and then all women showed up?
Yeah.
It was all women, bro.
Yep. It was all women.
That should let you
It was all women.
That should let you know something.
Right.
Sisters.
So they kill the protective male image. Come on.
Male image. And by creating submissive, dependent mind of the nigger male slave.
The simple mind. They create a submissive, dependent mind of the nigger male slave. Come on.
We have created an orbiting cycle that turns on its own axis forever.
He says that it's an orbiting cycle that will turn on its own axis forever.
That's
forever.
The desolation.
Right.
Abomination
desolation.
Of desolation.
That's desolation. So it says, and it will turn on its own axis forever.
Yes, sir.
Right? Because they would not receive the love of the truth. They receive a strong delusion. This is to get their intended effect. This is a social engineered thing. Come on.
Unless a phenomenon occurs.
That's the scripture. That's what we read in Ezekiel 3, where you eat the scroll, you eat the roll, right?
Yes.
And in eating the roll, that means you hear this word, you receive it, you start to keep these commandments. And that becomes a phenomenon. Why? Because it's really saying about the foolishness of preaching.
Right.
How that's going to cast down those strongholds. That's going to cast down all those evil imaginations, all those wicked imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the Most High God.
Right.
Right. And when it says it's not just talking about imagery. It's talking about any way or manner in behavior. Remember, social engineering deals with behavior. It says, so unless that phenomenon occurs, and that's what you see with this, what the Bible says is the foolishness of preaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's a phenomenon. I was reading that Christianity article, and I mean, who knows what the numbers are, but Mark Reiser was talking about that. He says, oh, in the United States, I think it's well over 1 million people that are into, he calls it Hebrew Israelism. That are following Hebrew Israelism.
He said 1 million?
Yeah, he's saying 1 million.
Trying to number Israel.
He's trying to.
The sand of the sea.
Right? I wish I would have prepared that article a little better. It's so much information that I've been trying to go over in all these shows.
Bring it out.
That, bro, it's not enough time in the 2 hours that we have.
Do we need an hour plus?
No, not we won't go longer, but, you know, we'll just continue it across, I guess, several
Do
shows.
Do we need to have a special show?
But, you know, I hate that because sometimes, you know, like it, you lose the flow a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, and then people lose their place. Like, look, we have to kind of reinforce the social engineering. We spend a lot of time reinforcing
just
that.
Just to get into.
Just so that I could jump to the Christianity in a moment, yeah. Right? But it's good because we brought out some different things as well. With
Do we need to have a 2 times a week power hour plus?
No, I don't know about 2 times a week. What is this? Right? So it says, come on. Unless a phenomenon occurs
and reshifts the position of the male and female slave.
Meaning we get ourselves right.
Yep.
Right.
That we're not bewitched anymore.
That's what we
reposition
read.
Ourselves by doing the opposite of what they say.
1 Corinthians 11.
Read it.
Yeah, let's get it. 11:3.
Shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And right. That's what we're doing is we're reshifting the male image.
Yeah, that's the phenomenon.
The position of the male and the female slave.
Yep, that's the phenomenon. That's the phenomenon. Go ahead, bring out what you're going to bring out.
The book of 1 Corinthians. Oh, gosh. Chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
That's the. This is the proper order. It was talking about... reshift the position of the male and female slaves. So this is going into the position that God had ordained for us as being Israel, read.
And the head of the woman is the man.
The head of the woman is the man, read.
And the head of Christ, God.
So putting things back in their proper place, having God first, Christ being the leader, and then men
that's heavy.
Following.
That's reshifting.
Yes.
And notice it says reshift, not shift, meaning go back to what it was. What it was created to be.
Right.
Reshift the position of the male and female slaves.
Mm.
Because what did he do? He said that you put the woman against the man.
Right.
Destroy the male image.
Right.
Turning the things upside down.
Right. The turning of things upside down. So they shifted what God said we should be. That makes us a strong nation.
Right.
And they pushed us away from that. And I'm telling you, even within Israel, many of us still go and look after marriages the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
We look for people the wrong way. We look for the wrong thing in a brother or sister when we're selecting a spouse. Mm-hmm. And we let loneliness or lust drive us in making those decisions.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us is lust, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can't roll in that spirit if you're trying to reshift the position. All right, of what they put us in that regard. What are you going to say, Zion?
Yeah, Psalms 82, real quick. Psalms 82. Because like you were talking about, they consciously shifted everything out of course, right? So get Psalms 82 and get verse 5. Because our people, we walk through the world and we're just going with our day-to-day, not realizing that everything has been shifted. We don't understand the social constructs and how they've truly affected our development as we've grown and affected, in turn, our families, the way we develop our families and everything on that side. Go to read.
Psalms chapter 82, verse 5. They know not.
So our people don't know. But they don't know. We don't understand what's really happening in the world. That's why it's important to understand and really listen. Read.
Neither will they understand.
The Bible already was prophesied that they won't know. They aren't going to understand what's going on. Read.
They walk on in darkness.
So right now, our people are walking on in darkness. Read.
All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
So that's where we read in 2 Thessalonians, that glorious light shine unto them. That's them being able to show them the truth. Them receiving the love of the truth is allowed to reshift everything back to its proper course. Men, stand up manfully, as it says in Esdras. Women, learn how to be in obedience to your husbands. These things have to be shifted back to how God ordained them to be.
That's right.
Hey, you know, it says they know not, neither will they understand. That's because they shoot at us in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the social construct that we're bringing out.
Right, right.
They shoot at us in darkness, and those who want to understand, that's Matthew 24. Be deceived, but those that do want to be deceived, that didn't want to receive the love of this truth, they know not, neither will they understand. Why? Because it's they close their ears, they close their eyes and say, nope, I don't want to see.
Yeah, Bishop brought that scripture where they stop up their ears, right?
Yep.
He brought that out in the last Sabbath class, right?
It's like Zechariah or something.
Man, I'm sorry, I'm still so impressed by that lower third. As y'all are talking, I'm looking at him like, wow, I think it's so dope.
Shout out to Soldier Othaniel.
Let's go back to social engineering. Let's read the second half of that. Social engineering can also?
Social engineering can also be understood philosophically as deterministic phenomenon, where the intentions and goals of the architects of the new social construct are realized.
Right, so it's a new thing that they're trying to put, right? That reminds me of that scripture where it says, a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man. Let's get that real quick. Get that real quick.
Hey.
Because that goes back to what we just read in Really Lynch and what you read in 1 Corinthians 11 and 3 about reshifting the position of the male and female, right?
Right.
Hey, get that.
To
the
30s. Is it? Yeah. Yep.
You don't got it?
Come on, bro. You're supposed to be the precepticon.
No, sir.
Come on, y'all. So Jeremiah 31:22. See?
Jeremiah.
It was in 30s. Just not in Isaiah.
Yeah, you're saying Isaiah.
Look at Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter?
Right. How long are you going to continue on? Let me tell you something. If you cannot yet, sisters, see the Israelite man, the black and Hispanic man, as the image and glory of Christ.
Right.
Okay, if you cannot see that yet, at the very least, have the awareness that what you're perpetuating is the breaking of that male image, the breaking of your mind psychologically by your slave masters, like we just read in Willie Lynch, that prevents you from seeing that. Maybe just start with that. Maybe that'll get you angry that somebody's telling you what to do, because you know most of them don't know what to do.
They say yes, right? Yes, master.
So maybe just that will motivate you to change the way you see this. Go ahead, read that again.
The book of Jeremiah, 31 and verse 22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth.
Right, because a social construct is not based on physical reality. It's based on a lie that you just get a collaborative consensus on. Mm. The collaborative consensus is anything you can do, I can do better. That's what the women think, right? But God made woman to be man to be man. But all these women are trying to be men, do what men do. That nowadays you got men trying to be freaking women.
Man,
that's how bad it is. Ain't no men left. They all trying to be freaking women.
Damn.
Right? And that's a new social construct. That's a new thing in the earth. Come on, read.
A woman shall compass a man.
Read it from the top again. Sorry.
How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth.
Right, so realize it's of the Lord. Remember, it says he that letteth will
let.
Yeah. So he's using them, but he allows this new thing to be done. Come on.
How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man.
A woman shall compass a man. That's going into the feminist movement.
Mm.
That's going into this ideology of these women. I don't need a man. I don't need this. I don't need this, that, and the other. It's incredible. It's outrageous. That's a new social construct that you've been socially engineered into rolling with that, because that's not what God says.
No.
According to what we read in 1 Corinthians 11:3. What are you going to say?
Can that's I read something for you real quick?
Go ahead,
out of the Willie Lynch.
Go ahead, go ahead.
So this is on the same page, but going up a little bit more, because we're going in on the sisters, right?
It was
just a little bit. It wasn't, but it came that way.
So we
talking about the social engineering, the social constructs, right? It says, by her being left alone, unprotected, with the male image destroyed, the ordeal caused her to move from her psychological dependent state to a frozen independent state. In this frozen psychological state of independence, she will raise her male and female offspring in reversed roles.
Wow. In reversed roles.
Damn. That's that everything being
that's
out of course.
That's that new thing. Hey, and that's why he says you're a backsliding daughter. Mm. So what, you know, often women will be like, what's our role? To cook?
Right.
That all we do at the school? Is that what we cook?
That's all I'm good for?
That's all I'm good for? Cook? Mm. No, there's other uses.
Right.
There's other natural uses. Like the scriptures say. No! Look at the impact that you have on the children.
Right.
And notice how it says it made independence to them is a good word.
Right.
But he says it's a frozen independent state versus the psychological state, right, which would be the strong mind of the dependency on the male.
Right.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. The problem is that you see dependency on the male as a bad thing because of this social engineering. You've been social engineered to think that have a frozen cycle, meaning it's fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's seared like a hot eye. Their conscious is seared in this.
Right.
And the trickle-down effect, all right? Man, women been jacking this up. Well, women became the beginning of sin and it's perpetuated.
I got that one, too. You want to
get... And yes, sisters, I know. The men need to get right, but the men are getting right before your eyes.
Right, right.
And you still got these sisters fighting against it, kicking against the pricks because...
Right.
Remember, that's why... I don't want to make this about women.
Bring it out. Nah, I'm just...
I know. I feel like Bishop Nathaniel is going to do a woman class soon.
Hey.
It's up in the air?
I don't know. We've been, you
it's
know,
up in the air.
We chat a little bit. We got our texts where we chat. And I guess we see stuff on in the media, social engineering.
Right.
Man, and these sisters, man.
Yeah.
Man, these sisters. Yeah. I'm not talking about repentant sisters, although some of y'all be giving grief. Man, these sisters, man. I don't know. I feel like he got to release the Kraken soon on the sisters again.
It's been a little while.
That's why I feel like it's brewing. I don't know. Right. I don't know. I feel like it's brewing. I feel like Bishop Dan about to go in on some sisters soon. But it has to be, though. Look at what we're reading.
Yep. And then
that was the linchpin of it all. From the beginning of time, Esau targeted the woman, and he's still targeting the woman to create this thing. And he calls it a frozen psychological state in the Willie Lynch of independence. So where you thought independence was a good thing, all right?
Right.
It was the dependence that sets God's order for us to do these things.
Mm.
But you think that independence is a good thing. You've went for that. You've been socially engineered in that regard.
Mm.
And we got to get ourselves together. Hey, and listen. Far be it from me to not get on the men, from any of us in IURC and in leadership to not get on the men. But look at the scripture. Where's the other one that talks about set thy face against the daughters? Is that Ezekiel?
Yeah.
Let's get it.
Come on.
Bring it down.
Ezekiel, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
yep,
sir.
Yep. Set thy face against the daughter of the children.
Daughter of thy people, right?
You got
13 and 17,
of,
right?
Yes,
come on.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 13 and verse 17. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people.
Right. We just read it, Willie Lynch.
Right.
He used them as the linchpin for this whole phenomenon, for this thing on its orbiting axis.
Right. Knowing the importance of the woman in training
the
children.
Yes. See, y'all women hate us so much. You hate the black and Hispanic men so much it deep down. You don't even know why.
Right.
That you're actually perpetuating what he programmed you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't even – there's so much hatred that you can't even see the forest for the trees, like they say.
Right.
That you're actually being manipulated.
Mm.
You think that coming into subjection to what God's divine order is manipulation.
Mm.
Is making you something less. But what you got to do is get your mind out the gutter of this socially engineered construct that you have in your mind.
Right.
All right. And realize that your glory, right? What does it say? Woman is the glory of man.
Right.
That's where it comes from. And you're not going to get glory until the man gets his glory.
That's it.
So read this again.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 13 and verse 17. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart.
Right. And it's not even your own heart. It's your own lust. But what it really is what? This socially engineered mindset, this frozen, independent state psychologically that causes you, whether you realize it or not, to raise your children in reverse roles. Come on.
And prophesy thou against them.
So we got to prophesy against y'all, all right? We got to prophesy. Because Esau knows to target you. So in your frozen psychological state of independence and in your hatred for the black and Hispanic man, the Israelite man, you can't even see how important you are in the construct of what we're trying to do.
Right.
Bishop did a whole class about strong marriages as a strong nation, and Sister Snoopy mad when he'd be banging on the sister. He went to show you there is a role. There is a place for you.
Right.
You just have to accept that as have the humility to accept what God has given to you for you to be your purpose. And stop trying to go against that.
Right.
Stop trying to go against that because you're disrupting the flow of things. All right. Go ahead. So social engineering. Come on.
Where social engineering can also be understood philosophically as deterministic phenomena, where the intentions and goals of the architects of the new social construct are realized.
Right, so one of the new social constructs is feminism, about the woman compassing the man. Come on.
Some social engineers use the scientific methods to analyze and understand social systems in order to design the appropriate methods.
So what the appropriate methods, you read the Willie Lynch, those are a bunch of methods in there.
Right.
Social media shows a bunch of methods in there. Come on.
In order to design the appropriate methods to achieve the desired results in the human subject.
Right, in the human subjects. Mm-hmm. Now,
that's heavy. Bruh, human subjects.
The biggest method, the most appropriate method is Christianity.
That's right.
Is Christianity. Let's go back to social construct real quick. Social construct. Still haven't got the other stuff that I got. Damn, bro.
So much.
I was supposed to go into social behavior according to my little pad, little thing that I wrote, and I still haven't got that far yet, but it's all right.
Mm.
We're running out of time, but I want to lay the foundation for this Christianity thing, and then, Lord's will, next class, we'll continue on some more with some of this stuff, showing you all the different social constructs and how we're controlled, how we're manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking that you think that in your so-called independence that you're being resistant to something, and all you're doing is actually being compliant.
Right.
Damn.
You're doing what they want you
right,
to do.
Right, right.
They don't even have to be perfect.
And not compliant. What's another word? You're being, it's not docile. There's another word. Can't think of it right now. My brain is frozen.
Complicit.
Complicit, right. You're being complicit with the agenda of our enemies,
with the
son of perdition, with that man of sin, right? So read social constructionism again. I'll try not to stop you as we go on.
Social constructionism is a theory in sociology, social ontology, and communication theory, which proposes that certain ideas about physical reality arise from collaborative consensus instead of pure observation of said reality.
So basically, the facts could be right in front of you, but because most of you believe something else, all right, you'll roll with it. So I mentioned that Christianity cannot justify their doctrine with the Bible. They really can't. They cannot prove that Christ is white. They cannot prove that God is for all nations.
Right.
And listen, there's a bold Christian going to stumble across the show. We got some scoffers that come here now thinking that they got the mad. Listen, we got members that debunk the scriptures you try to pull to say that, and it don't say that stuff. So you cannot justify it. So therefore, because you have the collaborative consensus of Christianity behind you, and I'm going to show you how large that collaborative consensus is, y'all thinking that you got it figured out, and you don't. Let's get the Christianity wiki that we put up, all right? We'll get the rest of that at another time. So it's not based on physical reality. Christianity is a social construct. Best believe it. And it's an agent of socialization as well. All right. Yeah, we got to go ahead. Read it from the top.
Wait a minute. Zoom in on one because so we can.
Yeah, we don't want that cross hanging out on the screen anyway.
No, I just got bigger. Christianity is an Abrahamic monotheistic religion based on the life and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. It is the world's largest religion.
That's a social construct. It's not based on the life and teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. Go ahead.
It is the world's largest religion with about 2.8 billion followers.
That is a collaborative consensus and a half, bro.
That's a there's 7 billion, supposedly, right?
They say there's 7 billion people.
Same population in the whole world. So right. It's almost, bro, it's like...
Right. Hey, and for the scoffer that was saying about color, mm-hmm. right? The reason, here's another reason we talk about Christ not being white.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's white, then that means that they can paint what they want to paint, that he's for all nations.
Right.
If he's no color, then he can be for all nations.
Mm-hmm.
And it solidifies their social construct.
Right.
So once you start to break that down, you're finding cracks in the foundation of mm-hmm. this construct. The whole thing falls apart.
Right.
So they have to defend that vehemently, which is one of the reasons why we teach that so strongly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His colors, it is foundational, because what does that ultimately prove? Who the real chosen people are.
Right.
And then that just disrupts the whole status quo.
Mm-hmm.
You pull that down, that's like pulling the rug out from under them. Like,
yep. Right.
How are you going to sit there and believe something that's based on lies? And actually, as a man, how do you lead your household based on a lie? That's a question.
Strong delusion. They wrote with that, man. Right? So they say it's the world's largest religion with about 2.8 billion followers, right? Read that.
It's the world's largest religion with about 2.8 billion followers, representing one-third of the global population.
That is a collaborative consensus that sets up this social construct. And understand, a social construct means it's not based in reality. It's based on lies.
Mm.
It's based on people just agreeing together despite what reality tells them.
Mm.
Despite what the Bible really says, despite what history will really show you,
right?
They still believe this lie.
That's the blind leading the blind.
It's that strong delusion.
Man.
It's that strong delusion, right? So, and that's a collaborative consensus, right? So it meets very strongly what a social construct is. Come on.
Its adherents, known as Christians, make up a majority of the population in 157 countries and territories.
So it's not just the sheer number of it, but in 157 countries and territories, Christianity is the majority of the population.
Right.
Christianity is the majority of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that collaborative consensus that creates this lie that's not based on any facts. Come on.
Population 157 countries and territories and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, whose coming as the Messiah was prophesied in the Hebrew Bible.
And you know what's funny? They'll call it the Hebrew Bible, but they'll say it's for all people.
Right.
Okay.
Mm.
But I'm telling you that again, another social construct. Just to pick apart the whole thing.
I had to rethink that after you said it again.
They'll even acknowledge that it's the Hebrew Bible,
right?
And then look at the subtlety. Read what's in parentheses next.
Called the Old Testament in Christianity.
Letting you know, they say, wait a second, that's a problem. We can't call it the Hebrew Bible,
right?
So let's just call it the Old Testament.
Mm.
Meanwhile, the Hebrew Bible is the whole Bible,
right?
But just again, showing you how they and we got to read on.
And chronicled in the New Testament.
So the Bible's the Bible.
Right.
But part of their social constructionism is, let's not call it the Hebrew Bible. Let's divide it and call it the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Mm.
We never called it that.
No.
Right. It's the Bible.
It's the Bible. Right. It's our holy scriptures.
Where the bombs at?
It's our holy scriptures.
Stay asleep.
This is part of how, this is the nuance things that they do to construct this lie of Christianity.
Right.
All right. Go ahead. Read on.
Christianity began as a Second Temple Judaic sect in the first century Hellenistic Judaism in the Roman province of Judea. Jesus' apostles.
Now, some of this, I'm not going to go real deep in this. I'm just trying to show you some history of this to show you how the biggest social construct, the biggest way we are socially engineered, right, is Christianity. Especially for our people, because we're the target population for this.
Right.
Everybody else that falls into it, it don't matter to them.
Right.
They want us to have the intended effect, and which is to change our social behavior. Right? Come on.
Jesus' apostles and their followers spread around the Levant, Europe, Anatolia, Mesopotamia, the South Caucasus, Egypt, and Ethiopia, despite initial persecution.
Right, and they put that there to make you think that they went to spread the gospel everywhere because it was for all people.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding the scriptures, right, when it tells you go preach into all nations, it goes into, very simply, real quick, it goes into John 7:35, right? Let's read that real quick. Is it 35 that I want? Yep. Where will he go amongst the dispersed?
Right. That one, you got it.
Mm-hmm. I know, sometimes I'm way off. Sometimes I'll be in the right book,
wait,
though,
wait.
Usually.
What, yeah. What book did you say it was?
The book of St. John, chapter 7 and verse 35. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go?
Right. It was common knowledge amongst our people, all right, that we were dispersed into all corners of the earth, right?
Right.
Come on.
Whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go into the dispersed?
Now, dispersed come from diaspora. Mm-hmm. I believe Deacon Nathan brought out in Bishop's class, the root word, the word only exists because it pertains to Hebrews.
Mm. Damn. Mm. That,
so
that is...
they'll try to put diaspora to other people, mm-hmm. but it the word came about only because it relates to us. Because why? We are the dispersed, mm. all right, based on the curses in the Bible.
Damn.
They knew that at one time, but in our desolation, we have forgotten that. Mm-hmm. Read that again.
Will he go into the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles?
Right, because this is why, so but Christianity will leave that part out, right?
Hmm.
The dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles. Man, that's very clear.
Very.
It's talking about two types of Gentiles.
Right.
Damn. Will he go among the dispersed, amongst the Gentiles? Read it again.
Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles?
Among the Gentiles, come on.
And teach the Gentiles.
The topic is the dispersed, and who are those dispersed? It's the Israelites. Where is it? It's Deuteronomy 4:26, which talks about scattered.
Yeah,
where is that?
Yeah, 4:27.
27?
Hey, yes, and it says, will he go unto the dispersed, meaning those of the diaspora. Exactly. That's heavy.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead.
Right. So there's other scriptures that support that the bulk of us would be here in North America. But then it said, meaning when it says scattered, the dispersed amongst the Gentile, meaning the few in number amongst the heathen,
mm-hmm.
all right, and be taught. And we, why, again, so this is the history that they don't teach you, but they'll say, look, they went and they preached the gospel everywhere,
right?
Not understanding what was really being said here. Go ahead, let's go back to this in Wiki. You got, unless you got something?
No, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
It soon attracted Gentile God persecution.
Gentile
God-fearers.
They're not fearers, right? Because it says the fear of the Lord is application of the commandments, right? Come on.
Which led to a departure from Jewish customs.
So in their own account of the history of Christianity, they're letting you know that it morphed into something else. Come on.
And after the fall of Jerusalem, A.D. 70, which ended the temple-based Judaism, Christianity slowly separated from Judaism.
So Christianity has nothing to do with us and our people. They may use the same book, but they distort it.
That means they're not following Christ's teaching.
No, they're not following Christ. They just told on themselves that they're not following Christ's teaching. See, but the simple mind is undermined.
Right.
The sinful mind is undermined, and you can't see these things.
That's heavy.
You can't see these things until you start keeping these commandments, right? Go ahead, read on.
Where are we at, Emperor?
Yep.
Emperor Constantine the Great decriminalized Christianity.
Why? Because he said, well, now all nations are part of it.
Because
mm-hmm. remember, it said the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, was it? Am I misquoting
yeah,
it,
Acts,
right?
Yeah.
Right, in Acts, right?
Yes, sir.
Meaning at that time, it wasn't a religion. Mm-hmm. It was still just us following the Hebrew ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then they just told us that Christianity has nothing to do with that anymore.
Right.
So then it says, so now it's no need for it to be a criminalized religion because we're teaching. Meaning, what they don't tell you in the nuance of all that is that it was what they called early Christianity was the disciples and Israelites teaching the dispersed amongst the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
When they twisted it and they started getting heathen involved in it, he said, okay, now, because why would it have to be criminal?
Mm.
Right, decriminalized, yep.
So he decriminalized it when? After, right? Read it again. Christianity slowly separated from Judaism.
Christianity slowly separated from... Hold on, you moved it. Christianity slowly separated from Judaism. Emperor Constantine the Great decriminalized Christianity in the Roman Empire by the Edict of Milan. Later, convening the Council of Nicaea, where early Christianity was consolidated into what would become the state church of the Roman Empire.
And they follow that to this day when they have the World Council of Churches, right? And the World Council of Churches is the one that deals with all the offshoots that happened after what they call the Reformation. And they still have their councils for the ones that stayed in Catholicism. So they're calling it Christianity, but it's what it's really telling you is that this decriminalized version was Catholicism. Was Catholicism. And that was the only version of Christianity at that time. Point. Okay. Right, at that time. Right. All right, come on.
The early history of Christianity's united church before major schisms is sometimes referred to as the Great Church. Though divergent sects existed at the same time, including Gnostics and Jewish Christians, the Church of the East split after the Council of Ephesus.
So they had all these councils where, and remember when it said in social engineering by government and private groups, it's a top-down effort. They were doing those type of things. They were constructing more and more. Yeah. They're basically building it as they go.
Right.
And they said, okay, we got to shore it up here. We have to shore up the Christianity here.
Right.
Right. This is our plan. So you're talking about thousands of years ago, they were setting up the thing where it would spin on its axis forever.
That's heavy.
Right? Come on.
The Church of the East split after the Council of Ephesus, and Oriental Orthodox split after the Council of Chalcedon over differences in Christology.
Highlight that real quick, like hover over it. Christology? No, Christology.
I didn't see
what that says.
Christianity. Christology translated literally from Greek as...
Do it again.
I know he was trying to clear it up for us, but now he lost it. He don't even know what there is.
In Christianity, Christology, translated literally from Greek as the study of Christ, is a branch of theology that concerns Jesus. Different denominations have different opinions on questions like whether Jesus was human, divine, or both, and as a Messiah, what his role would be in the freeing.
Hey, what's the freeing? Click on it. Now I'm curious. His role would be in the freeing of what? What does it say?
Freeing of the Jewish people.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wait.
Oh, God.
Different degree from denominations. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I glazed over this and prepped
this. Different denominations have different opinions.
Different denominations have different opinions on questions like whether Jesus was human, divine, or both, and as a Messiah, what his role would be in freeing of the Jewish people from foreign rulers or in the prophesied kingdom of God, and in the salvation from what would otherwise be the consequences of sin.
Wow, letting you know that even in their own studies, they know
what's
because
up.
The Messiah means a savior,
right,
and
right.
A savior has to be specific to a certain set of people.
Right.
Not everybody's a savior. Like, you know, like what would be a savior to one group is an enemy to another.
Right. Then you cause division. Now everybody can't be in Christianity.
No, this is what I'm telling you. Christianity is this whole big social construct of BS.
Mm.
We're probably not going to get to all of it. We'll finish up a little bit of this history.
It's just the whole construct of BS, but it's just
And that's good because it'll give me a little more time to maybe I could flesh this out a little more.
Right. It's just so a big blob of blah, right? But then those that would not, the elect will not be deceived.
Right.
The elect will not be deceived. It's
but
much
what makes
confusing.
You the elect?
Right. Keeping the commandments.
Keeping the commandments in the faith of Christ as an Israelite.
Right.
Right. So it still all goes back to this is the emphasis on that.
Yeah.
But there's the emphasis
it's
on
just
that.
So much confusion, but then they tell on themselves, but then there's more confusion to it.
Right. Yeah, start from there where he has the highlight. What were you going to say?
I was going to say this makes Luke 1:68 even more strong.
Yeah, system. Yeah.
Like, literally.
Right. That's Christology.
Right.
Go ahead.
Christianity remains culturally diverse in its Western and Eastern branches.
Oh, no. Is that where we were? Because you highlighted Christology. Go up.
We were down. So Christology.
Parts of the Americas. No, go up. Yeah. You're in the wrong spot.
Oh.
You lost the spot. Scroll up.
Yeah, go. You got to go up.
Scroll up. I'll tell you where we were.
Bro, why are you
scroll up?
Does not compute.
Well, what are you doing, bro? I'm telling you where it is. Stop being rebellious. Scroll up.
Hey, dude.
We missed the whole part about Western civilization. Scroll up. You're in the wrong spot.
There it is.
There we go.
Yep.
So start, no, scroll up some more.
Come on, man.
Oh, God. Start there. The early, start with, says the Church of the East. Down, down, next to Jewish Christians. There we go. It's like he was like, no, this is not where you were. I know where we were.
Yo, you made him freeze, bro.
Oh,
you
my
made him panic.
That's Soldier Michael.
I don't know if it's David or Michael. It's either or. David or Michael.
One of them two.
The Church of the East split after the Council of Ephesus. And Oriental Orthodoxy split after the Council of Chalcedon. Over differences in Christology. While the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church separated in the East-West schism.
So you see all these, see how all these divisions started happening? And they started split. So you're seeing the birth of denominations.
And now the other brother's messing with the wrong one.
With the wrong one. So you see
We're almost done for tonight.
So you start to see the birth of different denominations, right? Come on.
Where is that?
You say
the early history of
Christianity
is
United Church before major schisms and sometimes referred to as the Great Church.
Uh-huh.
We already read all.
No, we read that. Yeah. Start the Church of the East.
The Church of the East split after the Council of Ephesus and Oriental Orthodoxy split after the Council of Chalcedon over differences in Christology, while the Eastern Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church separated in the East-West Schism, especially over the authority of the Bishop of Rome. Protestantism split in numerous nations from the Catholic Church in the Reformation era.
So what you have to understand with Protestantism is that that's really the two major branches of modern-day Christianity. Mm. And what I mean by that is, Catholicism is the mother of all of them,
yep. Mm-hmm.
But after we'll go into this next week, the Protestant Reformation, under Protestantism, you have Baptists, Southern Baptists, Lutheranism, Eastern Orthodox, all that stuff, right? Because I think I have it up. We'll go into it, what the definition of Protestantism is. But Protestantism is all the denominations. So anything that's not Catholic falls under Protestantism, mm-hmm. All right, in the early phases. So they started to diverge. I'm showing you this, not so we could be like, ooh, wow, but to show you how it's made up BS. How it's made up BS. I had it up. Is it Ephesians 4?
Yes.
About 1, right?
Yes, it is.
But get Ephesians 4 and get 4 and 4, but first read the Protestantism again.
Protestantism split in numerous denominations from the Catholic Church in the Reformation era, 16th century, over theological and ecclesiological
uh-huh.
disputes, most predominantly on the issue of justification.
That's when they started coming up with that no laws, like you're the sin doesn't matter.
Exists,
the sin doesn't exist, right? Come on.
Theological, ecclesiastical disputes, most predominantly on the issue of justification and the primacy of the Bishop of Rome. Christianity played a prominent role in the development of Western civilization.
Wait, so we'll come back to that part. That's where we're going to start again, soldiers. Christianity played, all right? So don't lose it and then just freeze there. Now, they said numerous denominations.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what the Bible, again, to show you this construct of Christianity and how evil Christianity really is. Read what the scripture says.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling.
Come on.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Right. But there wasn't denominations.
Right.
Where it says multiple that split in numerous, not even multiple, in numerous denominations.
That's what they call heresy.
So that the Bible is actually contrary to all the BS that they have. It is heresy.
Right.
So they have numerous denominations.
Jump down to verse 14.
Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness.
By social engineering and social constructionism. Come on.
That's exactly
whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
But whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Boom, look at that.
That's where the bombs at, y'all sleeping.
That's exactly what this
is.
It's just... It's carried away by every tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That's right. Then falling, going into their own understanding. Oh well, I want to do that. And that's the Esau. They don't have no unity. Right. It's always, right. I want to do this, I want to do that. Some of them, they're fighting to be a bishop. That's they're fighting over rulership.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Read this part here, and then we're going to wrap it up after that, and we'll continue on the next show with the rest of this breakdown in Christianity as a social construct. Come on.
Christianity played a prominent role in the development of Western civilization.
So the whole Western civilization is talking about here.
Right.
So when earlier I was pointing out the subtle correction to the officer when he said it's one of the biggest, no, it's the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because most of us are here in North America, right? And then it says Christianity played a prominent role in the development of Western civilization. Yeah. Going back to how in 1 Maccabees 1, it says they consented to his religion.
Mm-hmm.
The government, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, that's all a religion.
Right.
It's all guided by Christianity. Mm-hmm. Bishop has brought this out. They have in God we trust. It's not the God of the Bible that
right,
they
right.
trust, but they have this on their currency. They have this in their documents.
Yep.
And how they it drove their manifest destiny,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff, right? Come on, read.
Particularly in Europe from late antiquity and the Middle Ages.
Right, and Bishop has gone at length, so is Deacon Nathan in the Middle Ages and what that was about. So they say this Christianity played a prominent role in that development. Why? Because it started to take us out of the rulership that we had in those Middle or Dark Ages, mm-hmm. right, by spreading this social construct of Christianity. Come on.
Following the age of discovery.
That's the age of rape and violation as they went and they went to all these different lands and they came over to this side of the world and the curses were continued to be fulfilled here. Go ahead. Come on.
Christianity was spread into the Americas, Oceania, Sub-Saharan Africa, and the rest of the world via missionary work.
Why do you think that is? Mm. Everywhere where we were scattered to, they said we have to spread this social construct,
right?
That goes into what you just read in Ephesians 4:14 about the sleight of men and cunning craftiness.
That's heavy.
And they said, listen, their mission was to go out by Christ and teach the dispersed amongst their people.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go ahead and, under the guise of missionary work, go out there and spread this construct of Christianity,
yep.
which is not based on physical reality. It's right. based on lies.
Well, it is. And then how they did it was Revelation 13:15, where it says they had power to give life to the image of the beast, and whoever would not worship the image mm-hmm. of the beast should die.
Yep.
Well, another thing, too, is heavy, because that ties right back. It says that it played a prominent role in the development of Western civilization. That's back to what you said earlier about even if they don't believe or follow Christianity – that's just proving the point that you
right. I'm glad you brought that back. That was the point I wanted to make, is that it played a prominent role.
Right.
So meaning this whole society, whether you believe in Christianity or not,
mm-hmm.
Western civilization, and not just Western, it also said what? Europe right?
Oceania.
As well. Yeah. Meaning the whole earth, even if you don't believe or subscribe to Christianity, that means even if you are atheist or whatever, you're Christian.
Yeah.
America's Oceania. What is Oceania?
Oceania's dealing with, click
like
on
Australia
it, hover over it, yep. Down over there, Australia, New Zealand, thereabouts over there,
click
Madagascar,
over Sub-Saharan Africa, okay,
yep.
So that's all Africa,
uh-huh.
because all our people out there still think
yes.
White man Jesus,
yep.
And then it says, and the rest of the world, meaning everywhere else, Asia, India, China, all these places, Christianity spread.
You're Christian, whether you say you're Christian or not.
That's heavy.
One scripture.
That's heavy.
If you follow the culture of any of those places, which is basically the whole world, you're a Christian.
Right.
And to prove that Christianity is not the pure and true religion, Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24. And where is it at? 14.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 24, and verse 14.
Yeah.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world.
So now, let's say Christianity is a pure. It's been preached in all the world. Go ahead.
For a witness unto all nations,
uh-huh.
and then shall the end come.
It has been preached to all the world, and the end hasn't came yet.
Right, but here's the subtlety in that book as well. Read it again.
The book of St. Matthew, chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom.
This gospel of the kingdom, of the kingdom, of the kingdom. What's the kingdom? Who's the kingdom for?
Right.
Why would we even need a kingdom if they have kingdoms?
Mm-hmm.
letting you know. So it's not the gospel of Christianity. It says the gospel of the kingdom. So because the other thing you hear Christians say is that, oh, one of our tenets is that all white people are going to be enslaved. Well, that's not true. All the nations are going to be enslaved.
That's
so
right.
You got that wrong,
right.
First of all, right? And that's the gospel of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gospel of the kingdom.
Gospel.
Good news.
He who leadeth into captivity
shall go into captivity.
He who killed by the sword must be killed with the sword. How do you explain that away? They rather just don't address it.
They're trying to take hope.
They rather just don't address it. Anyway, we're gonna stop there. I had a lot more that we're supposed to be. We're gonna go into Reformation.
You sure you want to stop there? We can go the hour plus plus.
We'll go to hour plus plus. Oh man, hey, don't forget, like, go over to IUIC Phoenix. Help us out. We're trying to bump the subscribers there. All right. All the socials down on there as well. I don't think we're going to do the show since we may be broadcasting, right? So
yeah,
usually
here.
We don't.
No.
So we won't have the Saturday show this Sabbath, all right, on Facebook. Next week is New Moon, so we won't be on next Wednesday either. Lord's will, we return the week after that. Am I traveling yet? No, I'll be here for that show. Okay.
That's the last week of?
No. The week after that, I'll be here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the one after that that I'll have the offices, the 50s will host. Right. So we're gonna skip a week. All right. So I know I got a lot more information. I was getting hot. Then we gotta wait 2 weeks for the rest of it. We gotta wait. Hey, that's good. Give me 2 weeks to kind of flesh it out a little more.
Nah, because the last couple days before Wednesday, you're gonna be like, hey, what did we go over? Send in info. Send in pictures.
No, we still got it. Bro, I still have all this that I haven't touched. You saw all the tabs they had open? I haven't touched even half of that.
Come on.
So we got a lot of stuff we got to go into. We're going to continue on striking down these social constructs. But remember, this is supposed to morph into social agents of socialization, too, which we haven't even touched on that.
That thing's going to be heavy.
We got to talk about the article where it says why it works.
Damn.
Why social engineering does work. So... we got a lot. We got a lot of ground to cover. We still have yet to cover a lot of ground. I still got my freaking, bro. I only went over the first part of my little notes here, bro.
Saving paper.
I guess. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in. Y'all stay safe out there. Stay in the spirit. All right. All praise to the Most High. And Lord's will, we'll see you live the week after next. All right. So with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Yeah, that was fire. So the earphones is on fire.
No,
this for the Southern Kingdom. Like,
I don't know how you bring the Bible to life, though. You know what I mean? Like, to actually see how...
This for the Southern Kingdom.
Things you don't think of.
This for the Northern Kingdom. Viva la raza. We won, they said, it wouldn't be Israel without Mexicans. Black love, brown pride, cause we next to kin.
You don't even
we
know
gotta tell Esau the lesson, friends, cause we above all nations and we better than them. We the salt of the earth, and we been king since birth, we put the kingdom first, and they gon' get this work, we was chosen, not cause we the most of the people. Few in numbers, but we over the people. We gods of this earth, we ain't supposed to be equal. Stop playing, you emotional people. The good gotta triumph over the evil. So my foot on the throat of the ego, the tongues will confess that we the people. Cause my nation ain't never been feeble for the Southern Kingdom. It's for the Northern Kingdom. Viva la raza.
We one nation.
It's for the Southern Kingdom. Kwame Sharala.
One nation.
It's for the Northern Kingdom. Viva la raza.
One nation.
I can't take one step without my brothers too. Vamos los muchachos, yeah, you know there's one for you. Me gusta el arroz con pollo, tacos, chilangos, sipping on cervezas with all mi hermanos. Judah and Eve from death to two kingdoms. Now we one nation over diseases. Royalty bloodline, we be the choice vine. Better rip in for you run out of time. I'm about to get me solid in the light, yeah, yeah. Be strong in the Lord and his might, yeah, yeah. Better be careful of the fire. Change all your ways or you'll be here. Desire, whoa, gotta stay away from Satan changing my mind, friend. Yeah, you know we dying daily, turning it up on a feast day. Put this on replay, no longer divided cause we all one nation.
It's for the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Sharala.
One nation.
It's for the Northern Kingdom, Viva la raza.
We one nation.
It's for the Southern Kingdom, Kwame Sharala.
One nation. one. Thanks for the drugs and the tequila. We got a lot.